I'm sorry, did you say you're going to shake your bomb bomb?
No, I'm going to see what I can do with my microphone so I don't get very loud.
Mr. Microphone, see what you can do with Mr. Microphone.
I'm eating a cookie.
What kind?
It's got chocolate chips and white chocolate chips.
Oh.
Anything else in it?
Cookie.
Cookies?
I don't know. Dr. Jen's sneaky. She might have snuck some fiber in there or something.
Fiber.
She's sneaky like that sometimes. Maybe there's some vegetables in there.
Veggies. Where's veggies?
Dr. Jen might have snuck some in my cookie. I don't know yet.
What kind of cookie is it?
Well, it's got chocolate chips and then white chocolate chips and then cookie. Like, cookie. Whatever.
Just cookie. So it's a chocolate chip cookie, but with two kinds of chocolate.
Correct.
And you know white chocolate is neither, right?
Right. But what is that's it? The way you describe it.
White some chocolate is mixture. It's not chocolate because it has no cocoa, and it's not white because it's actually cream, because it's a cream thing. It's not really chocolate.
So it's like fondant or something.
Yeah, it's some really, yeah. It's tasty. It's more like almost butter. It's kind of like hard butter. But it's good. So Am I very loud this time?
So you can freeze butter if you want.
You can freeze butter.
Absolutely.
And then slice it really thin and then just eat it really quick.
Blech. Or you can go to Texas and go to a county fair, and they will freeze a big stick of butter, put it in dough, and then fry it for you.
Yeah. No.
Sir?
Except apparently, like, on certain shows, when somebody has to eat butter, they'll eat actual butter, because apparently if you eat, like, a stick of margarine, it's gross.
I can't imagine having a stick of butter wouldn't be kind of bleh.
It depends on the butter, really. I mean, you can get... Alright, what kind of butter do you get? I get that European Dutch butter. And that's really good.
Okay, see, again, don't... I
Blue
I don't...
Gras or something like that. Blue Gras.
I think we get the Target or the DeKalb Farmers Market kind, because I have no idea.
DeKalb Farmers Market kind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just,
that
yeah.
means it's like artisanal type butter. So it should be really good.
Okay.
Is it good?
Is butter. Okay, you're going to make fun of me. I can't taste the difference between butter and margarine.
Really?
I really can't. And trust me, the chef gives me hell for it.
Wow.
Is Boutella around?
Wait a minute, what kind of margarine? Are we talking Blue Bonnet? Lando Lakes? What kind?
Any kind. I can't tell the difference.
Really?
Really can't. And my in-laws did not believe that.
Okay.
I don't know. My in-laws did not believe it and actually made me taste both. And I was like, yeah, no. Because they're from Wisconsin, the capital of butter. How is my microphone sounding? Am I really loud again today?
You're okay.
I'm okay? Sir?
Sure.
Yeah, you're okay.
You know I cried after the LSU game, right?
I kind of figured that would be possible.
I was very upset. The only good thing about that game was we only lost by two. Well, there are two things. We only lost by two, and I had really good beer. I had Lexington bourbon barrel beer that I got from the ground.
Oh, bourbon. Oh, man. I love it when they age beer like that. It's awesome.
It is.
Whiskey casks and stuff. Oh, yeah.
And this one is amazing because when you smell it, you're like, oh, my God, I'm drinking a big glass of bourbon. And there's just the tiniest hint of bourbon in the beer, but it is so tasty.
Wow.
Nom nom noms. And I'm having another one tonight.
Why is it everyone turns to, like, Grover when it comes to, like, talking about food?
I don't know. Oh, we all grew up with that?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
It's more
it
Cookie
really.
Monster anyway.
I know. Yeah.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Okay, so everybody's Hello. Pulling against Florida, this week, right?
No.
Sorry, I can't. For my own alma mater's good, I need them to win.
You pull for Florida State, not Florida.
Right, but we play them our last game of the season. We need them to be undefeated and highly ranked as possible.
See, don't you know how that ranking thing works?
So that so it's the best BCS the BCS score that we can get to have a shot at the national championship.
No,
I'm sorry, but that's just how it is.
My cocks.
I would love to pull your cocks.
Wow.
Wow. Does that all the time.
I'd like to see that occur, really.
$30
$30 to pull your cock?
Yeah, sure.
Is that all?
Yeah, for you. I mean, I'm giving you the friend's discount.
Okay.
Okay, so Widge wants me to make a Cadbury cream egg with the green stuff.
Yeah.
I can't.
Why?
Because, well, the Cadbury cream eggs still taste like Cadbury cream eggs. So I tried to put some Nori in one. No, it's not a melon taste. And then I tried to, like, think, well, maybe creme de menthe, and I didn't even do it. So basically the only way to do it is to do it just like I always have and then figure out a way to put, like, some green dye in the middle.
Oh.
Because it tastes the exact same as any other Cadbury cream egg. They're really good, by the
way. All right. All right. You know how, like, the Cadbury cream egg has the yellow
mm-hmm.
fondant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if you made, like, a green globule and put that in the middle?
I could possibly do that. I mean, in some of them, I've actually put a glob of cream, like, right in the middle of the martini. And I could probably get some cream and dye it green and do that.
Yeah. Do
but
that.
But it wouldn't be because Widge was like, oh, you could do Midori. Or no, you can't because that changes the flavor. And the flavor of this is just Cadbury cream egg. Nummy Cadbury cream egg.
I have not seen these green ones. Who has these?
CVS.
CVS? I never go to CVS. I go to Walgreens.
Scream. S-C-R-E-M-E egg.
Oh. I don't know.
Oh, and I will also say that the chocolate frog from Harry Potter, damn tasty. We had one for our family and we ate it. But the other one didn't for a second.
Did it move? Did it move?
No, it doesn't. It's solid damn chocolate, though. It's not like a hollow egg. It is solid.
What card did you get?
I got Slytherin. Salazar Slytherin.
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah. How many? Do we know how many different cards there are in them? Has anybody seen this yet?
There's four.
I would think there are at least six.
Four.
Maybe eight.
There's four.
You got to think. There's the four founders. Dumbledore.
Song,
Harry,
four.
Ron, and Hermione.
There's four.
There's only four?
Yeah.
You're sure? Are you saying this with conviction, or are you really sure?
You'll never know.
Widge, guess what I'm drinking?
What are you drinking, Lee?
I am drinking a New Holland Dragon Milk Stout.
I know, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Have you had this?
Yeah, I had it at the beer fest thing.
It's good. And it's 10% alcohol.
Wait a minute.
Say that again?
It's 10% alcohol.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you're breaking up a little.
Bye, Holly.
New Holland Dragon's Milk Stout.
Nice.
It's here. Nice show.
I don't see. I decline your video so I can save my bandwidth.
It's all pretty. I do have it in a Southern Tier glass, but that's just.
Yeah, you have a what?
A Southern Tier Brewing Company glass.
Okay. Am I the only one having trouble hearing Lee?
I'm being kind of quiet so I don't get loud.
No, I mean, you're.
Loud. Actually, now you're breaking up a little bit, Lee.
Okay, I'm hardwired in.
Okay.
I don't
know.
Well, we know that, but how about your connection?
I'm hard in.
Oh, thank you for that.
Because she wants people to pull her cock.
I'm only charging Rocks $30 for it.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Well,
hello.
That's the friend discount.
And there you go. John, just so I don't forget, I left two more things in your gifts folder on the server to help you through this time of sorrow.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what time of Sara? Is this still about the Foo Fighters or something else?
No, it's no, it wouldn't be the Foo Fighters because it's a time of pause and reflection rather than sorrow for the Foo Fighters.
Oh.
Right. I'm actually still kind of torn up about Simon and Garfunkel. No longer.
Yeah.
So long.
Yeah. I feel your pain.
I was wondering. I was like, so what are we all up? What is John all upset about?
Well, you know.
The better question is, what isn't John upset about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything, John?
I can probably complain about everything.
Okay.
Wow. I bet you're not real upset about Hulk Hogan versus Bubba the Love Sponge sex tape issue.
What? Oh, I got to hear
that.
Oh,
I'm really upset.
Oh, why?
I want to know why Howard Stern isn't involved.
Oh, he's getting involved.
Oh,
oh, is he really?
Love Sponge is going to go on Howard Stern and talk about it.
So,
oh my God. Sir,
wait, so what's the, yeah, summarize? I guess is what
yeah,
we just said.
Rox needs to know. Nobody okay. really needs to know, but Rox, of course, wants to know. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. So, some of you may or may not know. Apparently, Hulk Hogan lives in the Tampa Bay area.
Yes, he does.
And there is a shock jock that is local to the Tampa Bay area, but he's been a national radio shock jock before, named Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yes.
And they are friends. Now, apparently, when Hulk Hogan was going through his divorce in the last couple years, he was down and rather sad. So Bubba the Love Sponge said, "Hey, buddy, why don't you sleep with my wife?" And so Hulk Hogan did that. He slept with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. Allegedly, unbeknownst to Hulk Hogan, he was being taped having sex with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
No way!
Way.
Way.
Now.
Way. And not only they both knew that they were taping it, supposedly. Both
yes.
husband and wife
husband
knew.
Husband and wife knew, yes.
Yes.
Now.
What are you going to do when Bubba the Love Sponge entraps you?
Yeah, it gives a whole new meaning to what are you going to do when Hulkamania runs all over you? Ew. Anyway, so now the tape has gotten out, apparently, and Hulk Hogan has decided to bring lawsuits against Bubba the Love Sponge and Bubba the Love Sponge's wife, who is now his ex-wife.
I don't think they got split up
over Hulk Hogan.
Right.
I think they just split up because that.
But given that relationship was already...
That relationship yeah. only could yield so much more anyway, so.
How did you not hear about this, Rox? I heard about this.
I was away for the weekend.
Oh!
And I will have to tell you about my art heist.
I heard
where
about it.
There's nothing
today.
About a Monet. Okay, something else.
There were two Monets.
Yeah, there were two Monets, but I had
more Monets, more problems.
Art heist. It was something else.
Allegedly.
Come on. Allegedly. Nothing for that?
No.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
Never mind.
See, it's not just you that don't hear him. I don't hear him either until I listen to the playback. And I'm like, God damn it, John.
I said more Monets, more problems.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing about something like that. When you become a celebrity, how do you have to, like, arm yourself? I'm sure... This occurs even like at Dragon Con, where there's some guy, hey, Richard Hatch, would you want to sleep with my wife? I mean,
here's the thing.
Here's the thing that Richard Hatch probably would say yes, but actually ask how much.
No, he wouldn't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Anyway.
But I mean,
there were two meanings behind that, and I'm not going to either one. Well, here's the thing I don't understand is, I have not watched any celebrity sex tape. I say this up front. I have seen porn. I have not seen any celebrity sex tape. It's sex. Why do I care if it's Hulk Hogan or some porn star I don't know having the sex? It's still grunting and moaning and probably not as well lit. Nor shot as some of the porn.
And just as fake.
Okay.
And just as fake.
Wait, I'd like to point out, dear listeners, in case you didn't catch that, the problem that Lee has with celebrity sex tapes is that the cinematography on them is poor.
Yes!
So if you'd like to recommend to Lee some well-shot celebrity sex tapes, I think she'd be completely on board, is what I think you're saying.
Lee, if anybody's Lee, coming from that.
There was a website, just like, what is it, that Lilacs, that guy that does the...
Lilacs did something on this? Oh my God.
No, but somebody else did.
Okay.
That somebody went through and was looking at porn, but they would take screen captures of the really bad interior decorating that was done in certain porn rooms and stuff, you know, like, and they even did screen capture of people's like, the amateur stuff, you know, where it's like they didn't clean up, there's crap on the floors and stuff like that. But even the popular ones, they would like do a screen capture. There's nobody in the room. You know, he would catch it when there was nobody in the room, but you know, porn.
So Roxy, here's what I don't understand. Now I have not watched a lot of porn, okay? Mm-hmm. But I have viewed some porn. I have not looked at it with, shall we say, the critical cinematic eye that Lee has. However,
I don't know. I'm critical too.
Thank you. I know you're mostly looking at font usage in porn. And in fact, I think that needs to be a thesis, Rox.
Brush script, man. Ooh, we're being fancy. Use it called brush script. Yeah.
But what I don't understand is why wouldn't you pick up before you started filming? Even if it's an amateur porn, because based on my understanding of porn, maids show up, clean up, and then they get involved. So you're only enhancing the porn all the way around.
Okay, people. Well, yeah. All right. Here is an episode of Help Me Rocks, which I'm sure Mighty Bill will help out on. Okay. So if you need help doing your own porn video, please call 404-382-0769. Let me tell you this right now. If you're going to do a solo performance or something like that, clean up your fucking room, for God's sake. You don't need
Rocks. First of all,
your fucking room
Rocks, I would agree with you. Everyone who's gonna do their own homemade porn should not only clean up their room but also take down all their cute little teddy bears that's anywhere. You should make sure any pictures of your children and or significant other aren't like in shot.
Bed sheets, little Holly Hobby bed sheets should not be in a porn video, people. Just
I don't know. There's probably some people that really would like that.
Vacuum the fucking floor. It's amazing on what cameras pick up, people.
You understand that a lot of them are filmed at hotels.
Yes, but some of them are also done in people's rooms and stuff. And it's like clothes piled up in a corner. It's like, what the hell? You know, it's just creepy, people. That's why not, you know. Yeah, watch the professional stuff, because at least, like Widge says, there are some nurses and maids that come in and then join in. They'll tidy up and then, you know.
I've never seen a porn thing where just like a man walks in like a maid or something like that.
Never seen the pizza boy kind of.
Usually the pizza boy is walking in when two other people are and they invite him. Usually the maid starts like ripping and jumping in. I think that's poor writing. I really do. I think that is.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, at least develop a plot as well.
A couple lines,
and actually say the words with conviction. We all know you're faking it. Just say the lines with conviction.
Really?
Take a real acting class. Nobody needs to go.
Can't out harder. Oh my God, hard. Well, I don't think you should be in porn. I gotta agree, Rox.
Yeah. There you go.
Clean up your fucking room,
for God's sake.
John, you
John, you need that vacuum.
Okay, so let me get
this. Devil at Big Lots is cheap on sale this week.
Hey, hang on. I'd like to point out. I'd like to point out that basically spending about 5 minutes grading amateur porn with the air of someone who's either watched a lot of it or shot someone was fine. But saying harder, harder on the soundboard is what stops Lee in her tracks.
If anybody's coming from that.
Priorities, Lee. I'm just saying.
It didn't stop me in my tracks. I heard the John go at time.
Oh my God, Lee, you just said that you heard the John say.
You are now the John. Wow. John, wow. you are probably down now, if nothing else, the John.
Fuck
John.
All of y'all.
Wow, Lee.
Wow. Amazing.
He won't pull for my Gamecocks this week.
Could you imagine how long it's going to be?
Hey, I like that one. I don't. When did I say that one?
Who knows?
Yes. He like hides them and then like pulls them out on us. Oh, that's God great. Damn it.
That's a good
one. He does it at Dragon. He walks around with a recorder.
He walks around with it out at Dragon Con. That's right. What I...
So which my game talk, will you?
Which can Serv and I do recommendations since we won't be here when you guys are finally tired and go to bed?
I won't be here. I'm going to go at like 10. I'm sorry. I was flying all day today.
Are your arms tired?
Can you tell us?
Yeah, I went up to Buffalo.
Oh, I went to see your mom's.
So, Rox, what's up with the what's up with the art heist? What's going on with that?
Oh, okay. So, and I mentioned this last week. I was going to Buffalo, so I went to Buffalo, and there was an art exhibit of Spain Rodriguez's work at this little, damn it, at this one gallery, in what is called Elmwood.
Rox, just real quick, just to remind you, we are being recorded.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's on Elmwood. I won't say where.
It was on Elmwood.
It was on Elmwood.
I won't tell you the street number, but here are the GPS coordinates.
But this one artist named India. Yeah, well, anyway, you can wipe that other one out. Anyway, it wasn't at a museum because museums have guards. This was at a gallery, okay? So they had this guy's work, and the guy's well-known. He's been doing underground comics for decades. He was also a biker. So in this gallery, and it was really nice exhibit, great exhibit. I mean, they had his large, you know, the drawings, the stuff that he would work on, and then they would reduce it down to make a comic and everything. So it was really cool. He did some stuff for Harvey Pekar for American Splendor, this guy. Anyway, he was also a biker. And he actually had his biker gang leather jacket there. Okay. It was on a coat hanger thing. It was kind of on display. They didn't put it under a box or anything, you know, that you couldn't touch it. So it was towards closing time. And I'm like, there's nobody here. I start rifling through the pockets.
Oh, you did not.
I did too.
Oh my God.
I started arriving. They didn't have anything around it. And I'll send you the photo of the jacket because I did.
Okay.
And I score pay dirt. They're in the, let's see. If
heroin?
I was, it would, but no. In the right hand pocket was a folded up note. On an envelope from 1986, because it has the actual PR 75-1. This is from the Department of Taxation and Finance, and it's 8/86. And it's an old, I think this is a number 9 envelope, and it's a window envelope where they used to use cellophane. Listen. Instead of just, you know, an open whole, you know, to put your bill in. Anyway, it's got a person's address on it. It's a her.
John, please, God, tell me you got that for the soundboard. But keep going, Rob. Sorry.
Anyway, I won't tell you the full name. Her name's Elizabeth, and she lives at Virginia Beach. So I scored this. So I don't know if he wrote this or if she wrote it and slipped it in his pocket. And he forgot about it since 1986, but I have it now. So that's my art heist.
Nice.
And then you went on to steal all those paintings and.
Yeah. You know, Europe. After that, I had to take the plane over to Europe so that I can acquire two Monets for my.
Well, I have a question.
And a Gauguin, yeah. I just don't know where I'm going to put that. Because you know what? Gauguins are fucking huge. I got
to
put some.
Well, I have a question. So did Cary Grant help you when you went to Europe and stole anything?
No, he's deadly.
You sure?
It's a very matter-of-fact answer right there.
It is.
Okay.
So that was my art heist. But I can't believe they left his jacket right there. And nobody rifled through it. It's like,
well, Rox, you rifled through it.
Nobody's here.
Well, Rox, yeah. Somebody did. Just nobody.
Well, actually, that's what I originally thought. I'm like, oh, my God. And I took the piece of paper and I put it immediately in my pocket. And I'm thinking, somebody must have dropped that in there. I thought somebody would have left. You know, done the same thing I did, but leave a note in. And I should have thought of that because I would have left a note saying, hey, guy from, you know, that has a land name, a country
You're
name
just
for a name. Hey,
late.
I know. Damn. Oh, well.
No, that would have been what you could have said is you're too late. I already took the good stuff.
Yeah, I could have. Damn. So anyway, it's gone. It's mine now. Woo. Art heist.
So
that's so my just, set. It's like my third one.
So dear listeners, please bear in mind that if you invite Rox to your party and she goes missing, check the coat room because she could be thinking that she's taking part in a performance art when really she's stealing shit. So
yeah, unless she had good stuff. Oh my God, if I got in, you know, if I was ever, you know, invited to, you know, like Andy Warhol's factory, man, I'd be picking up, you know, cigarette butts and crap and making, hey, look, this is
picking
from Andy Warhol. Picking up crap and putting it in like, you know, that plastics, what is that stuff?
Ziploc bags?
No. You know, the pouring stuff that you'd put like a little scorpion in it and make a little, you know, lead weight or what is that? What is that plastic?
Oh.
That
what
stuff?
The hell is she talking about?
You know, where you can pick up the
like
little
amber?
Yeah, it's like a resin of some kind.
It's a resin. Yeah, that's what I would be doing. It's like cigarette butts and stuff from Andy Warhol. Make a little paperweight stuff. I would so do that.
I so believe you.
I kind of expect to see you selling stuff like that at Dragon Con next year.
Well, you know, I can get some resin for this note.
And you'll
Part
be like selling. Yes, this is a cigarette butt smoked by
Gore Vidal, because he's
right.
Dead.
You know, whoever, you'll just make it up by, you know, I don't know, Doc Hammer.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
But, you know, in resin, so it's here for you forever, and it's only $12.
It's like,
but
hey,
for you, $11.
That would be interesting. I could go up to Doc Hammer and say, hey, you finished with that cigarette butt? Can I have it?
I would
like
to go up to Doc Hammer and just say, I'd like your butt, please.
I would
really be
that.
Curious to see how he reacts to that.
He's like, no, somebody's already asked.
Oh, God.
Oh,
all right. So should I get lighting for the Gauguin above the painting or below?
Below.
Yeah, you think? To give it that creepy look?
Well, it's the creepy look, plus there is something about the underlighting that will actually make it kind of stand out a little more.
You know, the thing is about those paintings that did go on, they will never see the light of day. an actual collector must have stolen those.
Yeah, because they will at some point. It'll be probably 20 or 30, maybe more years before they show.
Well, the thing is the Gardner, the Isabella Gardner Museum that had that famous heist in Boston, that was 30 years ago. Stuff.
The one that was never found, the Degas and all that.
Yeah. You know, I remember going to that, like, I don't know, a couple years before the heist and then after the heist. It's weird. They still have the little plaque because this woman stipulated in her will that nothing gets changed. It's like, oh my God. So it's weird going back to that museum because there's no incoming of new stuff or, you know, stuff going on loan or anything. It's always there. No. So I think some weird, crazy, Sydney Greenstreet type collector has them now. With that laugh going, they're mine.
That's a rabbit. That's like awesome. Oh shit. I'm on nothing. What? What? Nothing. Ignore that.
No.
Wait. Nobody, okay, Lee, hang on.
Can't.
Lee, what porn are you watching?
Were no,
you,
no porn. No porn.
Say, is that a rabbit? What fucking thing are you, what?
I was looking out my window, and I thought there might be a rabbit outside.
Presto.
What? Wait a minute, Lee. It's like dark out. What kind of rabbit do you have that's dipped outside in radium?
They're probably eating my Brussels sprouts.
Are they dipped in radium?
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Oh my
reference.
God, the rabbits are eating your garden?
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference. That is
No, I have to say the rabbit dipped in radium as a sexual reference is probably my favorite use of that sound file ever.
Rox, I will tell you that whether it was rabbits or squirrels, whatever, something dug up all the cilantro and all the garlic and ate it.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Did I ever tell you that I actually did the garden experiment in my yard?
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Not really. However, there was an Asian hooker living next door at the time.
And unless I'm mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
It is. That is. That
only at Spaz House would there be an Asian hooker living next door.
And you know what she would do? She would come.
What would she do, Rox?
She would clip. Here's the sexual reference. She would clip my chives. And what a whore. Yeah.
Flip my chives is awesome. That is the best term.
Yep.
Like,
she would flip my chives.
No one likes a ragged chive.
No. Wow. See?
I mean, come on, Widge.
And that's a true story, people.
Whoa, what do you mean, come on, Widge?
You're a guy. Come on.
No, I'm not disagreeing.
No one likes a ragged chive.
You want your chive trimmed. I mean, I agree with you. I'm just saying it's just funny.
She clipped it down to the nubs.
I think they call that a Brazilian.
Oh my
God. No, it was a stubble. It wasn't even a Brazilian.
Oh, we don't like the stubble.
There was no Brazilian. None. It was almost like, I don't know, Eastern European shot put participant. Oh, how's that?
I don't know what that means. And
I don't either.
Bad, actually. It's all right. Don't get it. All right. Please, God, get us on another topic. Rox, did you watch Alphas?
No. It's all on record. I spent 2 hours watching Walking Dead and then Boardwalk Empire. And I'll tell you, Rossetti is hung like a fucking horse, people.
Spoilers!
I really do. Yes, spoiler. Big inches. Spoiler.
Sorry.
Clearly, big spoiler.
Big spoiler.
All right, so actually, you know, Rox, I wanted to ask you about something about Walking Dead before you go, but we should talk about.
We got an hour.
No, but Boardwalk Empire. Okay, so Boardwalk Empire, your thought beyond, were you just stunned by the hoarseness or did you have other thoughts?
Wow. Agent Nelson's wife, or if they're really married, man. Wow. I was really surprised about that little incident.
Yeah, I
need to step away. I'm still not caught up.
Oh
so
my god!
I'll be back
like what?
In the,
like how many?
I'll just,
so
I haven't seen any from this season. So I'm what, four behind?
Five.
Five.
No. Okay. Well, Jen and I want to see it. We just never quite. We'll.
Well,
we acquired them, but we'll.
Hang on.
I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Rox. Yeah. Well, my thing about that was I was just surprised because I thought, and I think we all thought that, well, he was just going to go and work for this guy. But now it's completely different. I mean, so everything is, I like the fact they're not going the easy route where you think, oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
But see, the thing is it isn't easy because now it plants the seed of, which is good because then he will be a conflicted participant.
Oh, he's pretty damn conflicted.
No. Here's the thing is, okay, he goes to the florist guy saying, hey, could you help me with this? I need to. Now, that guy could now go one or two ways. Hey, do you want to work for me? And Nelson could go, yes, totally. Or every once in a while, only till blackmail. You know what? This is the blackmail episode. Everybody was blackmailed in this episode in one way or another. If you notice.
Yep.
Eddie Cantor was blackmailed into working for Nucky. In a way, now Nelson's even wife, even though she was a big participant in what had occurred, she could now blackmail Nelson, and now the florist guy can do the same thing. which is funny because that one FBI agent could have blackmailed him as well. if that's what you were thinking. If that's how they perceived it to go.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, the other thing that I found was really kind of interesting is the fact that Nucky is becoming the villain. I mean, in a way that he wasn't before. He was at least a sympathetic villain that you wanted to see win, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But now he is like turned a corner and there's no good guy in this now.
Oh, no. But that's the charm of him is he, except for Margaret that can see through all of this, you know, where he just comes to her and said, you know, I'm sorry, that won't, you know, happen again of making the situation so public. You know, not sorry, I'm screwing around on you. No, I won't do this, you know, so that your standing will be diminished, you know, when he, you know, after that whole thing where she walks in on the flower shop or the dress shop. I thought that was great.
Yeah. And there was a lot of oh shit moments.
Well, the interesting thing is he does have, I guess there's a certain amount of respect still for Margaret. Because remember, she's the one that really saved his bacon last season.
Oh, yeah. And now
she's just like weird, crazy, moralistic, kind of, even though she doesn't mind pulling a few strings of her own.
Well, I wonder if we're not going to see that start to fade because she's trying to work within the parameters of this, you know, the church, which doesn't give a fuck about the women that she's trying to help.
Right. Well, that time period, she's not going to get that far unless she goes full suffragette mode, but they already have the vote. So I don't know how that will go because Vatican II didn't occur until the 60s. So she doesn't have a lot of room, I don't think.
Mm.
I might be wrong, but, you know, knowing my Catholic lore, unless she does something to get rid of that one nun that's a pain in the ass, I don't know how they'll proceed. Well, only because we know from those, you know, informational things that the Riff Track people make fun of, it's been a long time of doling out the same horseshit information. So,
I was kind of, I was really impressed with still how tight it is, and how good everybody is.
Yes.
And I was pleased to see that Eli is still sort of in there.
Yes. So
do you think that they had the Rothstein argument to save face? Because otherwise, why would he be reporting back to Nucky to say we botched it?
I think so. I'm still not sure where, because I mean, we've seen Nucky even in that, you know, when Eli was working as the sheriff, Nucky didn't mind bitch slapping him down. And all of a sudden it's like, well, thank you for your information. He's never done that.
No, I'm sorry. I meant the argument between Rothstein and Nucky, where he said,
Here's my question. Who set the hit up against Rossetti? Who did
Rothstein.
That?
Rothstein.
Fucking botched that piece of shit.
Because remember, they sent the
is
kid.
Is it safe?
Well,
I'll be back in a couple more minutes.
2 minutes, sir. But yeah, they sent that kid, which was the problem, because he's a complete fuck up. So
right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that was they're filing the serial numbers off the gun and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. That was okay. The way he was dressed and everything fooled me until he tried running. You know, he ran out laughing like an idiot. It's like, okay, you're an idiot. You'll always be an idiot. But man, yeah, that whole really botched job. If they want to get, I was thinking, like you said, they would have gotten, what's his name to do it?
Well, that might be the next step.
It will be the next step.
I mean, they have to address it because he's there. I mean, it's not going to make any sense if they don't at some point bring him into it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And who knew? Who knew that Rossetti had that interest? That's a dangerous interest. You need to say, apparently that was a time where they didn't use safe words because she didn't know he didn't have a safe word.
Now, well, wait a minute. Is it that they like their safe words hadn't been invented yet? I don't think he has one because remember, he's like, fucking hurt me. He doesn't give a shit.
Well, no, but see, apparently, again, if you want to call in to a special episode of Help Me Rocks, I'm sure Bill can explain a lot about safe words and stuff and their origins. So please call in 404-382-0769. So we'll discuss that. The thing is from what I understand, and I'm probably wrong, is a lot of the people that are into this BDSM, they want you to hurt them as much as possible. That it's like, if you think you're killing them, you're probably not doing the type of hurt that they want to have done. So that's why safe words are important because, you know, I don't know. That second scene was like, wow. He almost passed out. Anyway,
wow. So there you go.
Safe words. No, I liked the tightness on this one. I just didn't think he had such a big pullover. You know, Eddie Cantor. That was interesting. That whole
play
on that.
And what Eddie did. That was great.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And I really wish they would do more with Chalky White because he's a badass.
Yep. All right, sir, are you back? Okay, I thought I couldn't go back. So, all right, so Boardwalk Empire. Yes, it's still very good. So Walking Dead's back. Did everyone watch it?
Ooh, yes, I just
No, because some of us have Dish and we can't see it.
You have what? Dish? Oh!
Oh,
wow.
Really? You have Dish?
Why do people have Dish? Wait, what
because
is so
it's better than Comcast and the other one in our area.
You can get the Sunday ticket with Dish.
No,
that's with DirecTV.
Ooh.
Not Dish.
Whatever. I can get another ticket thing. But I don't do it.
It's only a direct ticket. It's only DirecTV that gets the Sunday ticket, yes.
Other than the AMC thing, we have very, very much liked Dish. And this is another reason why we're probably getting Netflix soon. So.
Right, but you won't be able to see Walking Dead for like a unless you acquire it legally.
8 years. Yeah. We also have a Kindle Fire that will probably.
Well, actually, you know what? Actually, I do believe it's available for purchase.
Yeah, through Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And we'll probably do it. Kidlet actually wants to start from the beginning, and we might do that and watch them all together.
Really? You're going to let him watch that?
Well, you know, I'm having conversations in my head, which is, I don't know about him watching it, but it's kind of like Stephen King stuff. I'd rather him watch it with me and us discuss it than him feel like an outcast around his friends. And also, I don't think it's as bad as some. I mean, he's not asking to watch Saw, so, you know, it's not torture porn. So I think, you know, it's a little better. And at his age, it makes a lot of sense to ask to watch this. 13, 14 is about the age where this comes up.
Zombies. Yeah. Zombies come up at 13, 14, yeah.
Zombies and horror stuff. Right? I mean, I think I'm correct on this.
I think you're okay.
Talk about the alien thing. John, we got to talk about the alien thing a little bit.
John, are you still watching Revolution?
Yeah, but I'm like half an episode behind because I watched the first half.
What are you thinking?
It's good.
All right, I'm saying not even seeing it. There's a big, giant, gaping hole in it.
Is that a sexual reference?
No.
Okay.
It isn't, and it has to do with growing food.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Well, okay, really quick. The food that people mostly grow in their gardens are non-heirloom or legacy type seeds. That means you have to buy the seeds every year.
Right.
And unless these people during this, you know, outage found the burpee depository that sends out the burpee seeds every year, nobody is going to be able to grow, you know, the various items that we are used to. Because Monsanto, like, say, wheat or corn, is sterile. So you can't, once you grow it, you can't hold some of that corn for later. It is sterile. You can't regrow it. So there is a problem with that 15 years, unless they figure something out that they can technically grow in.
Wait. No.
The same problem exists then in Walking Dead as well.
Well, nobody's really growing it.
That's not true because Walking Dead's just kind of scavenging.
Well, they did say Herschel, before, you know, he had all sorts of other issues, was concerned about planting seed in the middle of the
Yeah, but I think, if anything, he's one of those people that have done the whole legacy heirloom.
Yeah, do you think he had time to grab any of that seed as he was running out of his farm?
No. But see, that's the problem with writers in general.
Yeah, it's all the writer's fault.
It is, because it's like
God damn writers.
You know, the whole fucking agriculture.
How would you get around it? Really, how would you? Really, can you do it better with Rock? Can you?
The artist is going
to
be shafted.
It would be like, okay, we need to go to Iceland and find the seed bank. All right, there's...
Rocks, I got to pull a hole in your hole. Because all there right. are...
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual
Is it sore or is it a frog?
Are there corn cobs? Again,
it's only $30 for friends, and I get to decide if you're a friend. But the other issue there is you do have some corns that are not that way, so you could actually grow them. Save yourself.
I agree with you. However, Joe Schmo that lives in, you know, suburbia will not know this.
It will take them a while to figure out.
That's the thing, is you're going to have like a couple years where you know, people are going to be dying by, you know, the bucket loads because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, but if Woody Harrelson taught us anything, you know,
okay,
all you need is some Twinkies.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to People versus Larry Flint, and I was going to be fascinated to hear. Never mind.
No, that's going to Zombieland.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
But no, I mean, go ahead.
What? No, well, Rox, I mean, what that you are correct. I think with Revolution, that there's a question about that, which may be why so many people are dead. It died off until I don't know how many people are around.
People are getting killed for cans of food too. So
yeah. But I mean, like Walking Dead, it hasn't been going on long enough.
It hasn't been going on. Yes, yeah. That's right.
Now they have skipped the winter,
again, it's like if you're gonna have an apocalypse, throw in an American Indian and an Amish. I'm not kidding. If you want it feasible, you throw in those two types of people.
Well,
an American Indian.
If you want to live and you want to like grow something, get somebody to eat me. And I don't get along.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Rox. The new capital of main republic that they're dealing with, because in Revolution it gets all broken up into several different republics. But the republic that they're dealing with, it is housed in Pennsylvania. So who knows? Maybe they have been taking seed from the Dutch.
If they find the Amish, that would be great because
they find them. They don't go anywhere. In fact, actually,
they're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
In fact,
it ain't nothing growing except wheat.
In fact, actually, the Amish went, huh? The power went out. What? Never noticed.
The only thing growing up there is wheat and hops. Lancaster is not good. It's not good dirt.
But the Amish live there. They've been doing okay.
They
make whoopie pies, man.
And they make those. They make those little fireplaces too.
Yes, they do.
And a whoopie pie up in Amish country is different than a whoopie pie that most people are thinking of. Just letting you know.
And unless I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Unless you get a
Mennonite.
You're right, Lee, because Mennonite whoopie pies are a little different from here in Sarasota.
Yeah, because a whoopie pie, a lot of people think you're talking the marshmallow and stuff like that. A whoopie pie, if you're up in Amish country, is actually kind of looks like an apple turnover, but it has mincemeat in it.
Get the fluffer.
Yeah. Awesome, by the way.
Fluffer?
Okay. Oh, and Widge, you're wrong.
What? What? What I do?
Well, they cut off some... spoiler! Give me 5 seconds. They cut off somebody's arm that they're going to have to, like, do CGI on all the time. But not Rick's, but...
What?
Whose arm? Whose arm got cut off?
I don't know. They were talking of... I read a review where they said that they cut off somebody's arm.
No arms were cut... Well, there are several arms that are cut off, but they're not on anybody you know.
No,
Daryl's mother had it on.
No, Lee.
Okay, so no spoiler. I read a bad review.
It's not an arm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different appendage.
Oh my god, it's
Use
a
your
game
imagination.
Cock. It's a game cock, people.
Hey, don't talk about Big Sur that way.
All right, so without spoilers for Lee, Rox, what I wanted to ask you about Walking Dead
was how are they planting seeds?
No, basically I was going to ask, because there was a section in there where they are making their way through an enclosed space, trying to basically hunt. And I thought, well, if there's anyone on this podcast who has hunted human-like creatures through an enclosed space, that would be you, Rox. So I was wondering, okay. could you, if they were here, would you give them pointers on what they could do better next time to avoid, shall we say, repercussions?
Well, they were all bunched up. They were all on top of... If you're having to dodge a guy with a fucking crossbow, you are too fucking close. You know, and Rick is a cop. They teach these people how to do riot type of things.
Well, here's
what... You had to form sort of an arrow type thing, you know, one in front, two to the side, then, you know, subsequent behind you. So you're actually creating sort of a phalanx type of a thing.
Well, they did do that. They did that in the opening, main opening. Yeah,
I know that was the beginning.
In fact, they even told what's his name.
Are you talking about the second half of the hunting?
They're in the yard. Yeah, but here's what I thought was happening is that basically because we've seen that over the winter they've turned into, and by the way, and this is not a spoiler. This is just an observation. Interesting how T-Dog was at the front of everything. So nobody can say that he's not doing anything now.
I know, yeah.
Anyway.
Well, in fact, they yelled at him for breaking ranks, essentially.
Yeah. But it's like, my thought was they've been doing this, but they haven't really done it in what looks like basically a subterranean chamber. So no. They kind of got thrown by being in a completely weird environment.
Because they're usually used to like little shotgun shack homes, so that's what they've been doing for the winter.
But
my big question is where the fuck did they get a silencer for Carl?
I think they built it.
It looks homemade.
Oh my, I'm like, damn, but why didn't everybody else get silencers? That was my first thing. I would go out and get a fucking silencer.
As you know, silencers actually do not work the way that they're portrayed as working. So. Especially on a gun that big.
And it worked.
And by the way, why is the kickback not killing that kid? The kid either has biggest forearms and biceps in the world. Or,
you know what? Bottom line, Carl is a fucking creepy little fucking kid. Jesus, I hate that kid. I do not like Carl.
Well, now, in defense of Carl.
Okay, let's hear
because
it.
Everyone has to.
No.
Oh, no, because he's always running all over the place. You have to defend him.
I think basically what I would like to see and what it looks like they're setting up is that he has grown up a lot since we last saw him. But my thought is it's like, and they explore this a lot in the comic, and that's why Carl's around. It's basically how do you grow up as a kid in a world in which nobody knows. I mean, basically, it's like, you know, you have kids and you know in this world that we have, civilization, you know basically how to prepare them for it. And I mean, yeah, you mess up and they turn into a serial killer anyway, but it's you at least know what to do with it. Nobody's prepared for this. I mean, you want to talk about not having heirloom seeds, having a fucking kid like Lori saying, like, what are we going to do with this kid in this world where it's like, you know, we don't know what to do. It's like you can't say go out and play. So of course Carl is running all over the place because it's ingrained in your body to just wander, you know, and go throw rocks at things and shit.
Well it's like growing up in caveman times when I used to hunt dinosaurs.
The comic shows his evolution or de-evolution of human society. He is like that sort of compass. Because when in the comic, spoiler, when he starts calculating who of the party is weak that they could leave, then you know, and Rick sees this, and he's like, "Oh shit, this is my kid." You know, so I can see him as being that kind of barometer, sort of little compass type thing. But I'm sorry, he's still a creepy little kid.
Question.
And
maybe it's in the comic, but then maybe it'll bleed into the television show. Excuse me. Do they ever come across, I mean, besides What's-Her-Nose, it's, you know, now dead, obviously. Do they ever come across any other kids his age?
No.
Not till later in the comics.
Yeah.
When they're in Washington.
Remember, and Sophia is not dead in the comic.
Right.
Oh, she's not. Okay.
No.
Well, why the hell did they kill her off in the series?
Because it served the story. And, well, there's stuff in the TV series they're doing which is not in the comic.
Right. Oh, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Riot Gear zombies.
Awesome. Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, somebody did die.
What, Lee? You broke up again.
She was just astounded by it.
Zombies?
Your wire went soft.
Oh, crap. I didn't have the soundboard up.
John's wire. And what is this about Riot Gear zombies? What?
Well, you figure
zombies
if people
who died and they had riot gear on.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, as opposed to Pussy Riot zombies, which
so,
is
so killing them becomes a little bit more, you know, physical.
Let's get physical. Physical.
But for the
I actually thought that, John. Oh God, bless.
But I am happy with the first episode. I thought it was pretty tight. There was a lot of action, but it wasn't action for action's sake. It makes sense what they're doing.
We didn't need two songs, though. We really didn't.
I wonder, this is something, because again, I've never read the comic, and the TV show creeps me out enough, and I've already told you my story about having to fast forward through anything that's really scary and then go backwards. Is there going to be a bit of, I would imagine for this season, and maybe that's why you have, what's her name? The katana wielding chick.
Oh, Michonne is huge in the comic.
Michonne.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, because at some point, of course, if you're in the prison, and that shouldn't really be a spoiler for anybody at this point, especially since they've been pimping that in the entire off season. At some point, you know, you run out of zombies inside of a building. And you can lock that down pretty tightly. So, you know, there was a ton of zombie killing in this episode. And I wonder if Michonne is really there to actually continue the zombie killing into then the story for the rest of the folks.
She's pivotal for the other story, you know, the bringing in of the main bad guy for this season.
Oh, yeah, I get that. I can see that. And
Again, it's like last season you had people and their relationship problems on the farm. It kind of carries over here in, you know, the prison. Go ahead.
Kind of what I'm trying to get at is the majority of the zombie killing pretty much over for the season is what I'm kind of getting at.
No.
How could they ever be done with
I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, so you have these two storylines going on now, basically two story arcs going on. Right. And the question that I'm asking is, like, is it going to be the Michonne, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Michonne.
Storyline, the one that's going to actually have all the killing versus versus the prison.
No, because
there's, even though they have the prison, they do excursions.
Well, why would
the people
kind
of
like a cruise?
Because everybody
Gopher
sees
is,
that,
you know, waiting
that,
for
that spoiler helicopter. Everybody sees that, so everybody goes to that. So basically, that's like the beacon. That's like, oh hey, look, there's a fire over there. Let's go.
Right, but do you?
There will always be killing of zombies, John. Yeah, how much of a body count do you want?
I'm actually hoping for less of a body count, to be honest with you.
Hang on.
I want to see the stories.
John, the stories, trust me, there are stories. There's plenty that's going to go on in that prison. And there's plenty that's going to go on outside of the prison. And Michonne is there for a lot more than killing zombies.
Oh, yeah. She's.
When
yeah.
did we get to see the governor?
You didn't in this episode.
But you did pretty much in the preview, correct?
I think, the preview probably.
They pretty much laid it out right there for you.
Yeah. So, no, there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, when you consider Lori's carrying Shane's baby, you know, Rick hates Lori.
That was kind of a creepy thought that she had with the, what if the baby, if the baby's already dead inside of me and then it's going to just eat from the inside out.
But that's actually, but that comes up in a lot of apocalyptic fic.
Pregnant
women.
Well, but that's relatively new. The first time I ever saw that in a film was the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
Came up in The Stand.
Not waking up and killing someone because there weren't zombies in The Stand.
Right.
But the idea of the baby being not normal and coming out wrong.
Right. But in her case, she was actually concerned. Spoiler alert.
She's concerned that it's stillborn. And in the fact that.
Then it would turn into a zombie, right?
Yeah. It'll reanimate. Yes.
And be inside
her
uterus.
Gotta love what your uterus says.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well done. No, Rox, this is something I was going to mention about the stand, is that the, and I think this was on the regular stand as well as the uncut stand books, because I really didn't like the uncut stand very much. But
isn't that a personal choice, though, really? I mean,
you can see a moil about it.
Right. That's uncut, what I was thinking. Yeah. Could you, can you regrow your stand? Or do
no,
you, does it always stay uncut?
No. What? John, what, John served,
you know
what?
You can pull any type of uncut, cut, cock going.
Do you,
yeah.
do you,
hang on. I just want to say this. You can stand in the place where you live. All right.
I got to ask the girls, do you prefer a uncut stand or a cut stand?
I prefer an uncut.
Really?
It's not really about the stand. It's, you know, how well you can use it.
Or how well it's written, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Can you stay right in your focus area? Because it's not really about cut or uncut.
A slight bend in the stand, that's okay.
A slight bend doesn't hurt. Not at all. Not a bad thing.
So, if you want to talk about stands, keep on. So call 404-382-0769 of what kind of stand you'd like to know about.
So this would be a very bad time. This would be a very bad time to mention Dead Zone then.
Yes.
Women, do you have a Dead Zone? I mean, do you like the Dead Zone?
No.
How do you reach the Dead Zone?
Never mind, John. That's for the 404-382-0769 show.
You know, orgasms are little deaths.
Well, now, I will say that if you are going to have your stand trimmed, shall we say, after you're an infant, make sure you get a Dead Zone for that.
Or you get your Asian hooker to do it for you.
Oh, wow.
No.
I wouldn't trust her with that.
But please have a safe word.
Yes.
So anyway, I was going to say there's a scene in the stand where a guy's got appendicitis. And they're trying to, none of them are doctors.
And he calls him Moyle?
What's that?
And he calls him Moyle?
That's right. They call him Moyle, who survived the oh, God.
Call audio Moyle?
It's more of a video Moyle at this point, which...
Oh, okay.
But you don't want to watch those amateur videos because they don't clean up beforehand.
Just use a vacuum cleaner. Go ahead.
You can rent one. Anyway, they're literally, they've got a medical like encyclopedia open trying to do surgery on this guy because he's going to die anyway if they don't. And it doesn't work out. But I mean, that's a great, you're talking about, oh, well, you know, in the apocalypse, things would be fucked. That's a great example of, this is something that, you know, they can do now. I mean, at the time, it wouldn't kill you. Now they can fucking pull it out through your belly button and shit. You don't even have to have a scar.
Nope.
But
well,
I do.
A scar, but it's very little.
Yeah,
I have
a huge
scar from my appendicitis.
You have an acute scar.
I have a
huge
scar.
Yeah, but when the apocalypse
scar.
Comes,
oh, yeah.
It's like
a huge scar. Yeah.
What? Everybody goes to like Office Depot to find Bix or something. Nobody'll know how to use that.
Well, I had a huge scar because my appendix started to burst, so that was a problem.
I have a huge scar because they weren't sure it was my appendix.
What did they think it was?
I still have.
They gotta love what your uterus
really
says.
Sure. So all the things that happened. So I had pain in my abdomen that would move around, and it kept coming. I actually have a paper written on me. It kept coming, and then it would go away for like years.
Baby,
didn't have any clue what it was. Basically, we found out. So, if your appendix is basically about the size of your pinky, by the way, in case you're wondering, so my appendix got sick. My appendix got sick, healed itself. My appendix got sick again, healed itself. And then when it got to the point where it couldn't heal itself anymore, that's when they had to do surgery. And they weren't sure it was the appendix because my white cell count wasn't up or something. It was really weird. But yes, I have a paper written about me. Like one of three people.
No,
it was a zombie appendix. Is that what it was? It was reanimating itself.
Now, is this an actual like scientific paper, or are we talking about?
It's an AMA. I'm in AMA somewhere. They don't use my name. Patient 2, I think.
Zero.
Patient 0. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be John Barrowman at Dragon Con and all those people.
I would love to have Barrowman.
Pause that refreshes every 15 minutes.
Everyone was just reflecting on that. But no. So I don't know. I was happy with the first episode of Walking Dead season 3, and
I concur, sir.
I fucking hope. Oh God, John, let me tell you something.
I know you've said it 100 times, but go on.
Oh God, I hope the prison is different from the fucking comic. I'm so glad you're not reading the comic. Don't read the comic.
Well, I read a Wikipedia entry around it. Yeah.
Oh, really? So you think I sort you know of have what some, I'm talking about?
Well, I sort of have some ideas of what's going on, because they kind of broke down the what happens in the prison a bit. So.
Ah, yes. Yep.
But I kind of tried to avoid reading too much of it, because I didn't really want all. But I was always curious about, you know, when the prison happened and everything else. So, and then I found out at the end of season 2 anyway, so.
Right. I'm assuming Michonne gets raped. Somebody gets raped.
Huh?
What?
Michonne? You wouldn't rape her. Why would you? I mean, maybe she does, but I mean, you're playing with your life and with that chick.
Yeah. There's plenty. There's plenty of bad things that happen. I'll just put it that
Lots
way.
Lots of bad.
Yeah.
Lots of bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Oh, so
you've
okay.
Been here for 5 hours.
Other stuff.
You want to do introductions now?
Oh, sure. We can. Why not? Before everyone leaves. All right. So we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Watch out, my motor, swindle the promoter, took the lunatics for a ride, and a little voice inside my
to another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio intranet train wreck. Yes, it's that wreck of a train that was a train and now it's a wreck. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rox of Spaz House is here. Hello, Rox.
This podcast cannot be used in a court of law.
That's true. That's true.
You can't prove I took anything.
Actually, I have a question for you, Widge. Is this released under Creative Commons?
Yeah, no, I think most of Need Coffee is under Creative Commons.
Wow,
you're
make
screwed.
A character of me.
No, it's non-commercial. So,
So and no one can make any money off of it, much like you don't. But
yeah, right, exactly,
including you. I guess
that's saying. Right. What One Tusk Industries is a non-profit organization simply because we haven't figured out how to make a profit yet.
By choice.
Yeah, I know. Not by choice. If it's been forced upon us by fate. We also have Lee is with us. Hi, Lee.
Sup.
We also have Serv is here. Hi, Serv.
Hello.
And manning the board is John Boutel from the Unique Geek. Hello, John.
You can have it.
But he's not really so much of the Unique Geek, because, I mean, he just kind of loiters there quietly. sometimes.
Okay.
This is mostly true.
I mean, I've been made an admin on the Unique Geek listserv, which is kind of frightening since I don't know how to do anything.
Well, no.
Well, I actually needed to be added to the Unique Geek listserv because every time I answer an email now, I get an email that says I'm not allowed. Yeah, it's my feelings. Oh, it breaks my heart.
That was serv's doing.
So if you play it to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what? Lee, you stopped breaking up, and now your wiring has done something even stranger.
It's making a weird voice.
It started wiring.
Serve, add me to the listserv for the Unique Geek, because I can't post to it.
Well,
you're asking the most inept, technologically inept, almost as inept as me speaking, person.
I'm very technological. Well, then you do it, damn it. One of the two of you do it. Do it.
We'll 1 hour 15, 1 hour 16.
Lee. Okay, I see where you wrote that. You read that spoiler. You're in the wrong freaking story.
Oh, shit. Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Wow. At least read the spoilers correctly.
I thought I had.
You didn't. Because I just saw where you read this certain item about somebody's hand. Wrong story. Wrong show.
Wrong show?
Wrong show.
Which show was she on?
The show she was reading this was about Game of Thrones.
No, I wasn't on Game of Thrones. I read it on IO9 today.
I just read it on Blaster. They're filmed.
IO9 had it under the wrong little box.
Okay.
I need a little box.
She needs the correct little box.
Don't we all?
Yes. Yes,
every
we do.
Every day.
God. All right, so let's see. I've actually been watching stuff. What did I watch?
Porn?
Are you guys, well, I mean, but not today. Are you guys,
and not a lot, so he says.
Mm.
No, okay. Proportionally speaking to the male
to the amount of time he's been alive.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, sir. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you. A gentleman who understands.
Comparatively, it's only 25% of the time I've been alive.
Yeah.
Really,
which
not even half.
Tiny.
Think about it. I
want to say, Serve said it was tiny, not any of that. So we're just saying.
That's right.
He was talking about your box. So anyway,
I jacked up just a little bit.
Have you guys heard of a show called Holliston?
Hollis Queens?
Huh?
No.
MC's from?
No.
No. Huh? Okay. The setup on it is actually quite amusing. It's two actual movie directors. They've done like some horror films, and it's a sitcom where they are trying to make a horror film. They're like two losers trying to make a horror film. There's all the girlfriend things going on. Their boss at their cable access show is played by Dee Snider of Twisted Sister.
Oh.
In the full Dee Snider regalia, okay? And the main guy's imaginary friend is the lead guy from Gwar, playing himself in full Gwar regalia. So he's the imaginary friend. He comes out of the closet and is like, hey, how's it going? I wish it was as awesome as it sounds. I got through about half an episode.
Oh, but if it's about...
It sounds really damned awesome.
But if it's about public access, then it should be bad. Then they should make it bad.
No.
Because the great thing about public access. It's crap. The silk is crap. They don't vacuum or anything.
No. The show itself, they have a cable access show, but that's so far a very small portion of what they're doing. The rest,
I know, but they should film it. See, I can already fix this.
They film it. That's how I
for
watch
a public access. No, the whole thing is public access. They have shoddy. Yeah. Film it like it's public access. People think it's like some sort of sin of their day.
So even
like
the
that.
Acting is supposed to be horrible. Is what you're
Maybe.
Yes.
The only problem is they are, okay, and maybe this is just very meta, but you know how there are some sitcoms that are so very sitcom that the actors very obviously are on a sitcom and play it like they're on a sitcom and lines. You know what I'm saying? Very contrived.
Yeah.
Feels contrived.
Like Home Improvement. Yeah. Any name anything from
the
80s on.
Yes. Thank you. Maybe that's what they're going for. And it just doesn't work for me. I don't know. But my favorite bit was the gore guy. I thought that was fucking hilarious. But anyway.
Wow.
So I watched that and I did watch, I am halfway through the first episode of Last Resort. And John, I will say once it gets going, it's
oh yeah,
it's pretty good, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But do you think that's a one season thing though?
Well, I did say that the last time, but my concern is that it's going to be crisis. It's going to become a crisis of the week thing.
Yeah,
which can kind of get old really quick. Yeah. Although they are doing a good job of leveling basically between. The island and off the island, if you know what I mean there, which in other words, they have all the political stuff that's going on off the island, versus what's going on the island. So,
right. And I mean, I see where you could play with it a couple different ways and extend it. But I mean, it will have to have an ending.
Hold on, wait a
minute.
What time is that?
Yeah. Like mark
1:20.
That's fine. I'm fine with that one. It's good to extend your stand, is what I think I'm saying.
Well, it's more play with it just a little bit.
Well, yeah. Well, because, you know, if you play with it a lot, then you have to vacuum.
Or you go blind.
Your palms get hairy, too.
You go blind.
Go blind.
Man, I would have been blinder than Ray Charles had that have been true. I mean,
shit as it.
John, you would be fucking Daredevil.
Oh, true. Wow.
And I don't mean fucking Daredevil. I mean, you would be Daredevil.
Or both.
I actually have to say this. Wouldn't every male person ever be blind at that point?
Oh, my God. It'd be like the Day of the Triffids.
That's what I was going to say, Rox. That's a spoiler. That's actually why everyone went blind in Day of the Triffids. They blamed it on the cosmic event, but it was really masturbation.
It was really, okay. Good to know.
Except for that blind man that was blind. Ahead of time.
Yeah, how do we know how he went blind?
One eye.
Well, because he was the only one that was blind and couldn't get around London. It was great. It was a great scene in the book.
They also had a scene of somebody, the only person who could go outside the village was the blind girl in the village.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any damn sense. That's a
in the land of the blind, Jesus. The non-masturbator is king.
There you go. It's because he can concentrate.
Or he can't.
On other things that not at hand.
You know, I'm drinking the small batch spice box Canadian spiced whiskey.
You have
I'm producing a small batch right now.
You didn't share.
I just bought it today. That's why I didn't share. It's very tasty, I must admit.
Tasty.
Just thought I'd share.
Whiskey is always good.
This is spiced whiskey, though. It does have a screw top, though, which I really don't like the screw-off stuff.
You heard it here, folks.
It goes back. It just goes in a different direction. And you're usually, liking.
Hey, while I've got everybody's attention on something completely off topic.
You have our attention?
I'm going to pay for it at some point, I'm sure.
But it's the friend's discount.
That's true.
$30.
$30. Is there a rum that you guys like? Not Bacardi, but I mean like a good rum, preferably not a spiced rum.
Well, I like
because I've been invited to a rum tasting.
Kraken. I've always liked Kraken.
All right, here's the thing. That's a spice rum, though.
Is it spice? I thought it was. Hold on, let me go grab my bottle.
It's very light.
Is a sexual reference.
Serve Appleton Estates.
Appleton Estates, I've heard of.
Very nice. Very good one. I don't have a lot of rums. The other ones I have are actually Bacardi White and Bacardi Gold. That's what I got.
Well, if you're mixing it, great.
Sure enough, it is spiced.
Yep.
Okay, Appleton, so, I've actually enjoyed apple. Now, I have something you will not be able to get. It's called Remora, and it is a rum liqueur, and it is amazing, but you can only get it in Jamaica.
Well, but I don't
think it really sucks to be you.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that the, that's the one that we talked about with, you and I talked about with the guy, Oscar, on the cruise ship, who was talking about how a mojito is really supposed to be made.
I thought his name was Isaac.
Yes. There's him, too. And the rum that they say it needs to be made with is not legal in the United States. So,
oh, which kind was it?
I don't know. It was something from Cuba.
Illegal kind.
Cuba.
Yeah.
All right.
I also say going into a liquor store and saying, what's a good rum for over ice? I'll probably help you out there, but you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I like the Appleton Estates. It's very nice. It's light. It's not going to kill you. And it's tasty.
Not too rapey.
Okay.
If you go to the independent.co.uk lifestyle, food, and drink, there's 10 best rums. Of course, they're probably rums that you can't get here in the United States.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. UK, great.
Yeah, I don't know. All the rums I like are spiced, so I don't know.
I like it. I actually do like Trader Vic's silver rum. Isn't too bad.
Yes. Mm. That's actually pretty good.
I use it for my mojitos.
Would you...
And my Mai Tais.
Put an ice cube in it and sip it?
Hold on. Let me go find out. I'll go taste it right now. Hold on.
Science!
Well, you put it too much.
The Independent does say Appleton Estates. So.
Oh, good. I like it. I was given it and very much enjoyed it and bought it myself now.
Excellent. All right. With that, unfortunately, I'm going to have to bail.
Wait. You got to see if it tastes any good over ice. You got to wait. Because he's doing it for science and for you.
Well,
it's not really science.
But you know it's going to take him a while.
Science rocks. It's our kind of science.
I cannot believe you're not going to be pulling for Florida this week.
I
don't believe that.
I have to.
I am actually out of my silver rum.
Wow.
So okay. So no experiment going on right now.
30 minutes for nothing. 30 Let's... seconds, I mean, for nothing.
Well, you know, I got to hear John's voice again.
Aww.
All right, everybody. Love you.
Okay.
See you, sir.
Bye. Bye.
Why was I invited to the rum tasting?
I don't know. Maybe.
I live locally. And shop globally.
Maybe it's not his friend, but his spouse's friend.
Well, I don't care.
Well, then why don't you ask to be invited?
I'm offended.
You are so not offended.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm just concerned as to how do you have a guy on your team named Serve and he's not already in charge of a listserv?
That is a good question. He was named for that particular purpose.
Well, there you go.
Well, the problem is that we didn't bother to train him in technology. He's actually writing everything down and handing it out, mailing it to people.
Yeah, the old school listserv, i.e. yes. The post.
He's still in the chess game with Tarkovsky. Made up a random Russian name.
No, I was going to run with that and say that Tarkovsky, is that like the Czechoslovakian word for turducken?
Yes, it is. Okay. It actually involves a wombat, though.
And chives.
And chives. For you. Trimmed chives.
So... I know it's getting very early, but I've actually been asked this question
very early.
So what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Me personally?
Yeah. Are you standing there?
Yeah, because I actually make the turkey for the household thingy for all of my family.
We do the laid back Thanksgiving for all of our friends and family.
And Sonia and I are actually considering possibly going to Portland after that for a few days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. We love Portland.
Because there's actually some cheap flights there. I'm not too sure how serious she is about it, but.
On Sunday? So you just hop a plane? Let's go.
No, they're talking after Thanksgiving.
On Friday,
we'll
probably.
Kids if you want us to.
Oh, on Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I got grandparents. Well, they like us better.
They,
all right,
my grandparents?
They're
grandparents
you
too?
Lee, you travel plenty, right?
Oh, I travel a lot, yeah.
Okay, now, it's sort of funny. Now, does this ever bother you in films of how, you know,
they don't
great
vacuum their carpets?
Stuff? It's like, we just hop a plane and leave the country. It's like,
that's not how it happens.
It's an arduous thing, traveling by airplane, people. I just always find that funny.
And this actually goes back, it's really funny, because we went to Argo this weekend, all three of us in my family. We took Caleb.
Why were you arguing?
What?
Why were you arguing?
No, Argo, A-R-G-O.
Why are you being so aggressive?
I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
That's
and it's great.
Bro,
it's a very good movie. Very interesting. Very historical.
Oh, my God, John. At least play this great game.
Wait a minute. Okay, so I'd like to point out that in Revolution, the problem is because there's no seeds, you can't go aggro.
You can't go aggro. All right, but Rocks, during Argo, there were two things that you go, yeah, that's not now. Number one is people kept walking in and out of federal buildings without ID or anything else. I'm like, yeah, it didn't happen. Number two was people could go anywhere they wanted to in an airport.
But that was in the 70s.
That was in the 70s. It was a lot of different things. Like people were smoking on airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
They did a really good job with all of that. The only thing they did wrong in this movie, very honestly,
was the iPad
Ben
that they
Affleck,
showed.
No, oh. Ben Affleck is not Hispanic and really should not have played Tony Mendez, who was the actual CIA agent who did all of this. And if you've ever seen his picture, Tony has Hispanic family, so he doesn't look like Ben Affleck. Wow. Just letting you know. But everybody, it's a great movie. Widge, did you go see it yet?
Not yet. I'm going to see it later this week.
It's excellent. I was historically very, very accurate. Canada is our friends, just letting everybody know. That's not a spoiler. No, very good thing. It's not a spoiler.
Well, and
they're big with hockey. Also not a spoiler.
And they have better bacon than we do. Not a spoiler.
Wrong. It's not a spoiler, but it is wrong.
Whoa. Have you ever had fat
yes.
bacon? Have you ever
yes.
had Canadian bacon up there?
Not up there. In New York,
ever
I have.
Canadian bacon
stop.
In Canada.
Stop. We're not having the Canadian bacon discussion now.
But he's
we've had this. We've had this. We've had this. Stop the podcast. Stop. We've done it. It's not bacon. It's not ham. It's Canadian. Just leave it. It's strips of little children, just so you know.
It is not strips.
It is too. It's Halloween month, so that's what it's made of, Lee. Just stop right now. Stop.
Okay, no, I'm telling you, Widge.
Yes, Lee.
There is no bacon shortage. It's okay.
No, there is not. There is not.
There is not.
I bought my bacon salt for no reason.
You bought those 70,000 pounds of bacon for no reason.
Whoa. Whoa, no one ever buys bacon for no reason, my friend.
Okay.
You will find a reason. If you have that much bacon in your house, you are just setting up for a spiritual experience, okay?
Actually,
that is true.
I had to throw out some bacon the other day.
What?
I made it and I tasted it and I was like, ooh, this really, it looked, you know, it had that white color on it.
Stop.
Ooh, you did that.
And I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Stop.
I thought maybe if I cooked it enough, maybe.
Just stop.
I'll nasty throw up. Bacon. No. Wow. You're supposed to do better than that.
No, John.
Then I put some bacon salt on it and everything was fine.
Oh, has anybody had the sriracha popcorn yet? Is it any good?
The Sirocco popcorn, is that Sriracha, the best popcorn?
Unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
No, the Sirocco popcorn, that's like the desert popcorn that like comes in across the sand. Isn't that what that is?
No. Sirocco.
Who's coming across what sand?
I don't know.
That's that red bottle of red vinegar sort of hot ketchup.
Yeah, it's the one with the rooster on it, because I want to get it for my brother-in-law.
It's got the Gamecock on it.
Hey, you know, I just reinstalled XP on one of my boxes here, and it actually is asking me to take a tour of Windows XP to see all the new and exciting features of XP.
Go see. Tell us what you see.
No, don't.
There's a start button.
Wow.
Can you have more than one tab at a time? I can't remember if that came out in XP or not.
I know, that was 98.
Okay. Couldn't remember.
Okay.
Actually, it was an OS2, Widge.
Man, OS2.
The best operating system never to take off.
Oh, dude, that was a great operating system.
It was. I agree. I wholeheartedly. I think I told you the story about, it's got to be, I don't know, 8-10 years ago where I bid on an unopened box of OS2 at a auction.
Oh yeah,
a live auction. This is before eBay, folks. And won it. I paid like $30-$40 for it, I think. But yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're the same kind of guy that would bid on an X-rated Game Boy game too.
Yeah, why?
Mint condition.
As long as it's in mint or slightly used or possibly sticky condition. Yes, that's why I would. What?
All right.
Super sticky? Really?
What?
She's super sticky. Well,
and this is why we do not let our spouses
it's
listen to
super
that.
Super sticky. Do, 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 do,
do, do. Because that listens eventually, so. I
unfortunately, get... my spouse is now listening because he got Beyond Pod on his Kindle Fire.
Have you figured out how to use Beyond Pod by now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
What's Beyond Pod?
It's an Android app that it costs
awesome.
It costs like $5 or something, but it's actually really good. It's a really good podcast player and catcher.
Oh damn! Today is the Happy Lady Ada Lovelace Day.
Lady Ada Lovelace.
Oops. Yeah, Ada Lovelace is the daughter of Lord Byron, and she's actually credited as the world's first female computer programmer.
I thought you were talking about Linda Lovelace, and I thought you were talking about someone eating her.
Programmer. Shut up, John.
I was like, I didn't know that there was a day for that.
Well, no, you know what other day it is? You know what other day it is?
What other day is it?
It's Rob's birthday today.
Oh, is it?
It is, really?
I would sing happy birthday, but then we'd have to pay somebody.
I know.
I didn't realize it. Why didn't I have this show up on my little screen?
I know. Holy crap, it didn't show up on my screen either.
So instead, right, insert the theme
song.
Here's
a solid good fellow.
Again. or do happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
We're so glad that you can't sing happy birthday. We hope you stay the same, I think.
Happy Joy Joy from Ren and Stimpy.
No, that would require payment, too.
Joy Joy.
That's not a birthday song.
It is, too. They sing it on birthdays.
Happy Joy Joy.
Who does?
Happy Joy Joy.
You know, I just learned that What's-His-Nose was the voice of Ren. I didn't know that.
What's-His-Nose?
Hold on. Trying to remember. The voice of Fry. Billy West.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
Tell my Billy West embarrassing story, right?
Were you naked?
What?
No, I was not naked.
Oh, yeah. I think you did tell me. At least you told me the story, but maybe the podcast listeners haven't
heard it. She is naked.
So, Widge brings this gentleman carrying this really big, like, crate with him
into
my room. And it was in the track room, and he came up to me, and he said, Lee, hey, I'd like you to meet Billy. And I said, hi, Billy, how are you? I talked to him for a few minutes. He was a very nice gentleman. And he said, well, Widge said I could, like, have my suitcase here. Would you watch? I'm like, sure, yeah, put it under a yeah, it's fine. We got it. We'll put it with our staff ones. We're fine. And he gives me a hug. No, I know he isn't. I said, hey, you're not a problem. Glad to help you. He leaves. 3 days later, at the end of con, and Mr. Widge there says, so what'd you feel like meeting Billy West? And I said, who's Billy West? I said, the voice of Fry. And I went, motherfucker, are you joking about Fry? Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, and what, she was so loud, she peaked while she was talking, too. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was all over the floor, which is really nasty.
I couldn't believe it. I had met, yeah. I was like, I didn't get a picture with him. No, I've never met him again. But I held his bag. Does that count?
Oh, damn.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Shit, I didn't say that, did I? Really?
Yeah, but you broke up while you were saying
did
it.
Did I do that?
No. She actually said that I held his bag. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, well, it sounded fine on this end. It's sweet. It's logged. Awesome. It's logged. Don't worry.
Awesome.
John.
Fantastic.
Lose that. Lose it. Lose it.
I had that happen
when Mary Jo Peel was at Dragon Con.
Well, you held
her bag?
No, I wasn't holding her bag, but, you know, I offered her, like, some chocolate, and she, like, took more than half a bar. Anyway.
No, I knew who Mary Jo Peel was.
I didn't, because she looks so different than what she was on the show.
She does, doesn't she?
And the thing is, the thing is, when we were at the dinner, her husband seemed like he was more, the first time I met her, it was like, you know, or, you know, been around her. It seemed like her husband presented a more personality. And she was sort of the background. I swear to God, as the several times that I saw her, I'm like, and I asked Cosette, I'm like, who is that? She's like, oh, that's Mary Jo. I'm like, it didn't ring. I'm like, well, who's that guy? Ring. You know, because he just seemed like I'm, you know, a force to be reckoned with. I'm not kidding. So it wasn't until like one of the, you know, the movie thing and, you know, and I'm like, hey, do you want something to drink? Because there's that guy. You're with that guy. I don't know who that guy is. I'm focusing on this guy. And she's like, oh, I'd really die for some chocolate. I'm like, I have some for you. And the way she said it, I'm like, now I know who you are. I'm like,
that's what finally let you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's like, I'd just die for some chocolate or something like that. So anyway.
I mean, anyway. No, that's as embarrassing as not recognizing Jonathan Colton. So,
oh well,
I did.
How the hell do you not recognize him?
I don't know.
Although I guess he does.
If you know what, it's easy because if you go a hipster coffee shop or a homeless shelter or the bus station,
seriously,
it's so easy.
Or Dragon Con,
it's so easy. It's mistaken.
Let me make it very clear: Dragon Con guy with glasses, beard, jeans and a t-shirt.
And long hair. Uh-huh. Longish hair.
Longish hair. That's pretty, yeah.
I could, you know what? There's like five of them down at that Greyhound bus station.
I know. I can go find five of those right now.
Rox has six buried in her basement.
No, I didn't recognize. And I felt really, apologized later. I'm like, I should have recognized you. And he goes, actually, I'm kind of glad you didn't. I was like, okay, but I feel really bad. Yeah, no, my hubby leaned over and he goes, do you know that's Jonathan Colton? And I went, no, I didn't. Yeah.
And then she peeked again.
No, I didn't peek again. I just kind of tried to put it off and keep walking.
And then she went and found, she went and trimmed some chives.
Yeah. Now all you have to do, Lee, is just go, oh, so, and that's all. They'll be happy with that.
I'm going to say that to everybody now. Sup.
I did that to Doc Hammer. It was so funny. He was walking up the street, and I was walking in the opposite direction. I'm like, Doc, and we just fist bumped, and that was really cool. And just walked our own separate ways.
So, all I remember is seeing Colin Ferguson and saying, Colin! And then he remembered my name and said, hey! And then he hugged me, and that I was very happy. My con was made right there.
I got a hug from Colin. I forced it from him.
He is he literally, Colin Ferguson, if you ever meet him at con, nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
Okay, so Widge, I have to go to bed too, so I'm going to leave you three alone in a minute, but can I make two recommendations?
Oh, sure. Go for it.
Okay, so one of them, if you buy it on Amazon, you'll make money. It is Voluminous Fault Lashes Mascara in the waterproof. This crap, folks, this crap works. You need lashes. You're a guy doing drag or just a guy that wants free lashes. This works. Women, it is like false lashes. It actually adds fiber. You actually have to have an eye makeup remover to use it, but it's great. And it really does work. And it's awesome. So I want to let you on that. And then the other thing is I am actually in the middle of reading something. And I am The Night of the Long Knives by Fritz Lieber, which is a collection of his short stories or novellas, really.
Good choice. Very good choice.
Very good choice. I have not read The Canticle for Leibowitz yet because it's not on the Kindle. But I had known of him and pulled this up and I'm reading it. And so far I'm about 50% in and I have not been able to put it down until my eyes are basically hurting. So I would give you that. It's a great little Halloween story. Ding, all done. So you can move that at the end.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Like
so cool.
A jigsaw puzzle.
It is.
What? Yeah. I thought that's what Ridge does all the time, right?
Oh yeah, I added everything. I add people, subtract people. You know, post production takes forever.
Right.
You know, Ridge, you just work so hard for us. It's so sweet.
Well, you know, Lee, I do work hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Well, I've heard
he works hard for it.
Shake it real good.
Yeah,
I work hard for the chives. Yep. Now I will say, if you're going to trim your chives, just make sure you vacuum up afterwards. And if you are going to trim your chives, don't use a Flowbee.
Oh my God, no! Do not use a Flowbee. No, do not use a Flowbee.
Although I understand there is a special section in certain websites.
A special sex what?
Yes, exactly.
Don't use a Flowbee. Not, don't.
I'm gonna go to, so here's my recommendation.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, go. Okay.
So, just so people know, I've been doing that 4-hour body plus.
Oh, cool.
I read up on a book called Wheat Belly. So I kind of got rid of a lot of wheat products. Okay. Cause wheat apparently has been not genetically modified, but has been, altered through hybridization and stuff like that. Apparently, you know, the current type of wheat has like 42 chromosomes and the ancient kind that was pretty much growing for like eons up until like the 30s or something only had like 12 or something, 14 or something like that. So they've hybridized the type of wheat, and they're thinking this book's premise is this is why you have a bloated stomach and stuff like that, and it's not good for you. So I've actually kind of gave up a lot of wheat, which is funny because there are people that hate this book called Wheat Belly. So I'll recommend that. It's kind of an interesting read. So it's like bits and pieces. Apparently the people that have that, Lee, is it Cilius? What is that?
She's gone.
Oh, she's gone. Anyway, the people who have the wheat intolerance hate this book because they're like, well, you know, I guess the idea is they love wheat. They can't have it. So they have to do the whole gluten-free type of lifestyle. The thing is about even gluten-free is they use other stuff like rice and like a tapioca, which is just as fattening. So over the weekend, I found from this food co-op in Buffalo I don't remember what the food co-op's called was, but I found these cookies and they're Italian and they're called Jovial, J-O-V-I-A-L. And you can actually find their stuff on Amazon, and it is a wheat product, what it is, it's called einkorn wheat. And if you go to the Jovial Foods, there's an actual Dr. Oz little video on what einkorn is. The most ancient form of wheat that our forefathers would eat. It's a long grass type of a wheat, unlike the stuff that is growing now, which is a short grass. And like I said, it's got 42 chromosomes and stuff. So there's stuff not quite right with, but again, if you want to take me to task, fine. But these are just things, bits and pieces that I've picked up that kind of work for me. So it's called einkorn. It's a first ever einkorn cookie. And apparently they also make pasta. If you want to cut down on your wheat, go for this, because they actually do have pastas that you can buy on Amazon. It's not cheap. But I got the ginger spice cookies, and they're Italian. Just so you know, Italian cooking, especially when it comes to sweets and stuff, is not that sweet. Just so you know, like a biscotti, if you picked up a biscotti, it's like a hard rock type thing. So it's good with like coffee or tea. So I'm going with that. And just so you know, just for my weird 4-hour body and this wheat belly thing, lost like 40 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whammo.
Yep.
Well, yeah. And the thing is I've been, I now have, my bike is in the shop, getting $200 worth of repairs on it, because I have been like, I have this really cool bike. It's got an internal hub system that I've ridden like 1300 miles on it, like at least 100 miles a week. And I have like these hairline cracks in the rear wheel. And unfortunately, on this type of bike, I just can't replace a whole wheel system. They have to build the wheel with the spokes and put the hub back in, because the hub alone is like $250. So I have like really put my bike through a lot over the summer. So yeah, it's just bits and pieces that I picked up. I don't really do like the cheat day thing. I kind of cheat through the week, but it's not, I don't like go overboard on anything really. But yeah, I cut out like a lot of the wheat, really.
Cool. Well, and part of the reason why I like 4-hour body, as I mentioned before, is my problem. I have a terrible problem with authority. I'm sure you can appreciate that, Rox. Yeah. And the fact that he basically says, look, I don't care what you do as long as it's something you'll actually adhere to.
Yeah.
You know, don't set yourself a regimen that's so strict that you'll fall off the wagon because you can't do it.
Yeah. You know? And it isn't. I mean, you can throw meat in with your salad. Like, I'll make a burger.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Yes. Like, okay, I'll cook up a burger with cheese. Now, there are certain things. I do fruit, because I'm sorry. There's paintings through the ages that have fruit. So, you know, there's fruit.
Well, there's paintings that have zombies, too. Do you eat zombies as well?
Well, no. And then what I'll do is, instead of using bread, I'll put it on a salad. And then just, you know.
Zombie? You
know, no, the hamburger. Cheeseburger.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you can do certain, there's like Widge says, there, you know, you don't even really have to read the full book. You can pick up bits and pieces of it. And that's what I kind of did. And I did the same thing with the wheat belly thing too. So, but it's interesting on, you know, what we're eating due to, you know, to the fact that big agri-corps, are, you know, modifying our food all the time.
And keeping Herschel from being able to plant seed.
That's right. Yes. Well, there was like a documentary about this guy about, GMO corn. Well, I won't say genetically modified because they're saying it's not, but hybridized, we'll say that, corn that's sterile. Like, this one farmer was strict on not buying Monsanto corn and stuff. Well, Monsanto had its, you know, would use this road that he had his farm on, and somehow some of the seeds or something got into his property and stuff. And Monsanto sued this guy, saying that his crop was cross-pollinating with theirs.
There was a whole leverage episode about this too.
Yes, yes. It's real. It's, you know, anyway, that's my soapbox. But yeah, Jovial, they're really good. Like I said, they're not terribly sweet, but if you're looking for pastas and stuff, you know, just to alter your diet and stuff, you can get this stuff on Amazon. It's not cheap, but then you get like so many packs, you know, for like $16 or something like that. But it's the old way, of cooking and stuff. And like the ingredients, it's like organic einkorn flour, cane sugar, organic palm fruit oil. So there's no weird names on this. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so it's kind of like steampunk cuisine.
Yeah.
Going old school.
Yes. Yeah. When you consider, you know, like the whole artisanal and going local type of eating and stuff. And it's kind of interesting that I didn't even notice it until I was buying apples in upstate New York. It's like, basically I've been like moved away from, you know, buying like melons and stuff. And now I'm buying like Concord grapes, pears, and apples, which are in season. So it's like, if you tune yourself to what's being done, you know, grown and harvested at the time, I think that'll help you out too. I guess. So I'm done.
Dang. Oh, you are?
Yeah, I am.
Then here you go.
Thank you. All right. Well, I thought Rob would be here, so I'm going.
It's his birthday. He's down the pub right now, probably just, you know.
It's birthday.
Either that or he's on, like, Facebook, like, seeing on how many people wished him a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Rob. Anyway.
So there you go. Turning 30.
Which and I will just stare at each other awkwardly for the next hour.
Sorry.
We do that anyway. We do that.
It was a long day on flying, and I'll tell you, man, going back to that.
Are your arms tired?
Oh, yeah, my arms are tired. It's like flights have like barely, you know, any time between, you know, layovers. You know, even though your flights, here's the thing.
And how about those peanuts?
Oh my God, yeah. No, it's like they'll say, oh, your plane got in 10 minutes early. However,
the
ground crews forgot how to work the little airway thing, the little, you know, so that takes like 15 minutes. All of a sudden, that 10 minute window that you gained, you just lost 5 minutes. And then you fly into Detroit, which they take, you know, you have to walk through this like Willy Wonka, you know, weird ass tunnel, and then try to run a half a mile to get to your plane, which they're announcing final boarding. It's like, but I just got here.
But it's the Rock City, Rocks.
Oh, Detroit's crap. I'm sorry. That's a horrible airport.
But it's, according to KISS, it is the Rock City.
I don't care. It's really flat, too. It's flat.
But it's the Rock City.
I don't care. Don't care. Have you flown into Detroit?
No, I didn't want to get shot.
Okay. It's a horrible airport. And I always thought Philly was bad. Now I'm going to say this one is. Because it's, you know, who has a terminal that's like well over a mile long? It's like everybody else breaks it up. They don't. No. Here you go. It's a mile. And then they have like this tram thing.
Well, at least it's not 8 mile.
This is true. Anyway, it was a long day. Long day. And I didn't even have to get up early, but it was just waiting and you're there and it's not really restful. You know, yes. By the time they give you, you know, your cheap ass, you know, those peanuts, which I don't know, they give you five now. Here's your five peanuts.
If they even give you peanuts. And those aren't the peanuts that we used to eat back in the old days. So.
These are like Lucy and Charlie.
Yes. Well, it's funny because by the time they serve drinks, they all of a sudden, you know, they're wandering around. Are you done with that? Are you done? Can I take that?
You know, they don't.
I just got this drink.
In some cases, because of peanut allergies, they don't even give you peanuts anymore.
They give you that Biscoff.
Who did you fly?
Delta.
Delta.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all the same. Unless you go Virgin.
Yeah.
And then you'd fly with Richard Branson, I hear. Oh,
creepy
so
Richard Branson. Creepy Richard Branson, who looks like he is going to rape you.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
I hear you're a virgin. No, I'm flying virgin. I hear you're a virgin. No. Okay. You misunderstand me.
Sir Branson. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand this whole... I mean, I appreciate, like, okay... There's a place at Atlantic Station here in Atlanta that it's called Kilwins. They do like chocolate and stuff like that. And they have so much peanut stuff going on. They literally have a sign up that says, if you have a severe peanut allergy, don't even walk in here. Sorry, stay out.
Yeah,
No, go ahead.
Did we go to school with people with allergies like that? I don't remember.
Nope.
Well, my thing is this. It's like, okay, I mean... Has it gotten to the point where people are just dropping dead because they're in the same zip code with peanuts? I mean, I don't tell people to, like, you know.
It wasn't until Jimmy Carter was elected president that this became a problem.
So are you implying that Jimmy Carter is some kind of Bond villain that maybe implanted this in our children?
Well, once he didn't win re-election, he said that everyone shall be allergic to peanuts.
It was his brother.
That's what we call nutfall.
Yeah.
Oh my god, have you seen the previews for Skyfall?
Yeah.
They look pretty badass.
I know.
All right, on that note, bye kids.
Bye Rox.
Bye.
Yes, Skyfall is going to be an IMAX film for me, I fear.
Oh my god. I mean, just the whole falling through the train and then getting up and just being all smooth about it.
Yes. Yes.
That sells it for me right there.
Well, see, here's the thing, is that in Casino Royale, and Quantum of Solace just wasn't, it didn't...
It was still a good film. I still enjoyed it.
But following Casino Royale, which was just so badass.
True.
It was like, meh. It was the difficult sophomore album. But the moment for Casino Royale that did it for me, that made me realize we were dealing with Book Bond and not, you know, Roger Moore, was when he's chasing Parkour Guy. And Parkour Guy, like, slips through some skylight and keeps running. And Daniel Craig runs right through the wall. I mean, just boom.
Right.
And I went, oh, yeah. But, yeah, to me, that thing is, you know, chewing up the back of the train, and he stands up and adjusts his cufflink.
And he just keeps walking.
Badass.
Yes.
That is ridiculous. So, yeah. And you've got Javier Bardem as the bad guy, who is excellent. I mean, you saw No Country for Old Men, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So he can do more than that, but I mean, he can be such a great bad guy. So I'm looking forward to the whole thing. And the new Q, which I think is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Who's the new Q?
Oh, you've seen the full trailer where they show him, right?
No, apparently I have not. Hold on.
Dude, Ben Whishaw is his name. He's in, he's in a ton of stuff now. He's in Cloud Atlas, which is coming out. He was just in the, the Shakespeare history plays they did. The Crown, whatever it was called, where they basically did Henry IV, Henry V, like four plays with a single cast. Jeremy Irons was in it. I think David Suchet was in it, too. He was in it. Fuck, I can't remember who all.
Oh, okay. But I've only seen the 30-second trailer.
Oh, dude.
I am now watching the 2-minute and 30-second trailer.
Dude. Oh, yeah. No, the full on, you get to meet Q. You get to see more Judi Dench. Ralph Fiennes, I don't know, you know, what his deal is in this completely. So, no, I am looking forward to Skyfall quite a bit.
What I'm saying is that the 30-second trailer sold it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Thus far, the two 45 seconds in, not listening to the audio, obviously, otherwise you guys would be hearing it, is also... Wow. Whoa. Did they actually just blow up the M6 building?
Yes.
Or am I... It's M6, right? Yeah, it's M6.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty sweet.
Ah, okay, I see. Now I've seen Q. Nice.
Yep.
He's a young guy.
Yep.
That is very interesting. Huh.
Yeah. Awesome. No, there's actually a lot of good films coming out. I want to see Wreck-It Ralph. Really
badly. So do I, so badly.
I sent that to Doc because I don't get half of the video game references, but I just knew that pretty much everybody like in the bad guy meeting was somebody.
Oh yeah.
And he fucking loved it.
It is pretty badass, yeah.
I actually do want to see Man with the Iron Fists, simply because.
What is that?
Oh, do you know? Okay. So
I think I might have seen a trailer about that. Hold on.
Russell Crowe and Lucy Liu.
Yes, I did see it the other night. It was I started to type Man with and the Iron Fist came up as the first result. It is not Iron Fist, correct?
No, okay. No, it's just literally Iron Fists.
Does he have literal iron fists?
Yes, they are fists of literal iron.
Not of some magical iron?
Not to my knowledge, although there appears to be some magical shit going on in there. They have like a golden version of Colossus and
except
shit like
it has Lucy Liu, who again, I am not a big fan of.
Well, but she is in her element here because she is, when you need... What?
Oh, wait, is it...
What?
Hold
what
on.
Happened?
Keep going.
No, I was going to say, when you need somebody like, you know, Kill Bill or something like that, where you need some ass kicked, she's great. She was great in Kill Bill.
Okay, and then I saw that Chung Lee was also in it, but then I thought it was the other Chung Lee, as in the Chung Lee from Irons, from Bloodsport. But no, different guy.
Nice.
Well, sorry.
No.
The character's name in Bloodsport is Chung Lee.
No, I remember. God help me, I remember. But no, I mean, same weekend as Skyfall, Lincoln's coming out.
It wasn't Tekken. But anyway, go on. Yes.
Let's see. What else?
What are your next Way Homers going to be, do you think?
Well, I've done one for Seven Psychopaths, which I need to get posted. It just hopefully...
Oh, did you like that?
It was okay.
Was it really?
You're fine with waiting for DVD.
Because it's got a great rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it squeaks by on the cast alone because you got a bunch of different things. You got Tom Waits in just a great part where he sort of comes in and is Tom Waits to a certain extent. You've got Christopher Walken where he's not... He gets to be intense without being a complete badass, if that makes sense. Normally it's Christopher Walken and he's like, you know, he'll be intense and pull a gun on you. This isn't that. I like Colin Farrell. I like Sam Rockwell. He's good in everything. I think the cast really sells it. It's not very smooth. It felt like a bunch of different genres. It was jumping around from place to place, and it didn't feel... I didn't know from moment to moment what film I was watching, if that makes sense. As opposed to, I think I compared it to like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, where there's funny stuff, there's violent stuff, there's dark stuff, but you never feel like you've left the movie. You know what I mean? It's the same film, but it's tighter. It's much tighter. This felt very loose and... very strange, and I felt like that was what they meant for it to be, but I just... it didn't work for me as well, but the cast sold it.
The majority of the critics that kind of panned it, and of course, see, here's the thing with as you well are aware, Rotten Tomatoes ratings are basically, if you give it a 3 out of 5,
that's positive.
It's positive, so it's a fresh, you know,
right?
Even if it is, you know, just squeaking by as fresh, it's still fresh. You know, like 2.75 on a scale of 5 would still be fresh.
Right.
The ones that kind of gave it rotten or splat or whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah.
Looks like they said that they enjoyed it for the majority of the film, and then it just kind of fell apart.
Well, there's a sequence in which they basically go to the desert and hang out in the desert. And it's just sort of like, well, okay, is this it? are we now in the desert? Is that what's happening? So, I mean, it doesn't sustain. It sort of loses whatever kinetic kind of weirdness it had going. So yeah, that was a bit weird too. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to go take peyote, you got to do it in the desert, I guess.
So what is the rest of your lineup for Way Homers, do you think, coming out?
Jesus. Well, I still need to see Argo. I was looking here. Let's see. Now, this weekend, let's see. What is this? I'm scrolling. So this weekend is... Oh, okay. Alex Cross comes out this weekend.
You know, I don't know what to take it to think of that particular film.
Well,
I know I'm not seeing it in the theater. I know that for a fact. Being that I have kids and everything, that
yeah,
in a whole different life, that yeah, it's yeah. not one of those movies I need to see in the theater. But I just don't get. The reviews keep coming in, or the film keeps pointing out that Matthew Fox is a brilliant villain, which keeps saying to me that that means Tyler Perry is awful.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I haven't been looking at any reviews really. My whole thing is I've done stuff before where I have been cast in things when I used to do theater, and people would just assume, because they'd never seen me do something before, that, well, why do they cast him? So I kind of have a sort of affinity for somebody being cast. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt until they hang themselves, obviously. But I am interested to see this, because this is the first thing, apart from Star Trek, that he's done that he hasn't written, directed, produced in the whole nine yards.
Well, I will say this doesn't bode well when... well, wait, there are three critics reviews. Okay. When I was going to say it hasn't been screened yet, but it does look like a couple of people have actually gotten a screening of it. So, and thus far, all splats, but anyway, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I just give folks the benefit of the doubt, because I've been in that position of, well, what the fuck did they cast him for? And that sucks. So, I would like for it to be good, but who knows? I have no idea. So, I mean, I'm interested.
So you're
in that.
You're intending in seeing that? Then.
Yeah, probably, because I mean that appears to be the thing that's coming out this weekend that is the most, you know.
Because you're not going to be seeing Paranormal Activity 4.
No, I mean, what's the point? It's the new Saw, basically. Let's crank one of these out every year around Halloween, and you know, whatever. So I do want to see Cloud Atlas on the 26th, assuming that it.
Oh, so do I.
Assuming that it comes out wide. Let's see. November 2nd would be Wreck-It Ralph, definitely. November 9th would have to be Skyfall, and then I'd have to turn around and watch Lincoln at some point, sneak that in. November 16th. I'd probably just skip November 16th.
What is it? What is November 16th? I'm not seeing
Twilight.
Anything.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm not seeing Life of Pi, but I do actually want to see Hitchcock. I am intrigued. I hope it'll at least be fun. Let's see. November 30th, we've got Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt, which looks like it has potential. December 7th, you know, I've seen this Bill Murray as Roosevelt film, Hyde Park on Hudson. I've seen trailers for that for a while now, so it's obvious that they're putting it out towards the end of the year for Oscar season, so I'm intrigued about that, because I mean I love Bill Murray, and I love acting Bill Murray, you know what I mean? So him as FDR should be fascinating. You know, here's what's weird. I can't really get excited about The Hobbit. Are you feeling anything about The Hobbit? Do you?
No. You know, I'm kind of over it. I think that everything was done that needed to be done with his original series, his being, what's his name? I want to say Totoro, but that's wrong.
Yeah, Jackson.
Jackson, thank you.
Yeah.
Although might as well be Totoro. Either one. And actually, in fact, actually, had it been Totoro, which it was the original person, I might have actually been a little more excited. But other than the fact that, you know, you and I have met my very good friend. Can't remember his name. Oh my god, that's awful.
What?
He's been at DragonCon the last 2 years. Help me. What's his name? The doctor.
Sylvester McCoy.
Sylvester McCoy.
I thought you were talking about, like, you know.
No.
No, okay.
Other than having to actually have met him in person, ever so briefly. I don't have any desire to see it, no.
Well, I mean, my thing is this. I think it'll be good.
I think it'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think Martin Freeman's going to be fantastic because he's good in everything. I mean, he's amazing in Sherlock. So seeing him bring that to that level of what he does to The Hobbit will be interesting. Ian McKellen's always good. Andy Serkis is always good. I think maybe here's my problem. I think if they had done one film or maybe even two films, because I could have said, okay, I can see where you might want to split it up into two films, not even just from a we want to make money standpoint, but from a there's a hell of a lot of story here to tell standpoint, and a, well, if we run out of Tolkien, we have to go to the Silmarillion and nobody wants to do that sort of thing. But I think extending it to three films, just for some reason,
it's a money grab.
It completely throws open. Well, we're grabbing for money because it's like, well, I mean, you managed to do the entire series in three films and this is a book. So, and I don't know. I mean, The Hobbit never had the great love for The Hobbit that I did for, you know, Lord of the Rings. And I wasn't one of these people that read Lord of the Rings like six times or something. But I don't know. And I think part of the problem is that I know everybody was like, oh, the series is amazing. But I'm like, I loved the first part, thought the second part was okay, and thought the third part kind of came back. And then, I don't know, in the meantime, he did King Kong, which was ass. So I don't know. I think maybe that's coloring my, you know, desire to see it. But I see that a trailer and I'm just not excited. I don't know why. It's weird.
Yeah, because it's one book that's stretched out into three films. And the thing is that the cartoon summarized it very well in one cartoon. So it, you know, I mean, you're right. At some point, it's like, well, we've already done this. Here's the thing. Had he have done it first, and had he have done basically the entire series all at once, I would think that, you know, okay, great, fantastic. But now that he's won the Academy Award, and, you know, he's gotten the accolades, he's gotten the accolades, rather, I should say, for the entirety of basically the series, the Lord of the Rings series. Now it's just like, well, now you're kind of going back to something that now I feel sad. It's like Michael Jordan coming back to basketball for a sports reference for you. It's like, you should have left well enough alone and been done with it. Had somebody else have directed it, maybe I'd be a little, again, as I said earlier, maybe I'd be a little more excited. I'd like, you know, because I would like to see what their take of it is. But actually, the buzz on it, if you're I'm on IMDb for it, it says the most anticipated prequel since The Phantom Menace, which is probably apropos. Although, what? You know, I do remember that my excitement for Phantom Menace was a lot
bigger
until I learned my big mistake.
Well, but I mean, you know, it's funny. I always talk about the fact that really the Phantom Menace was like a complete loss of innocence for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was something amazing. I remember this. I mean, I remember, and I have a terrible memory, but I remember sitting at the midnight showing for Phantom Menace. And when that John Williams score kicked in and Star Wars came up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you like almost piss yourself going, oh my God, this is happening. So it's like, that was amazing. So, I mean, it's like you look at like Sam Jackson and Ewan McGregor and stuff like that, and you go, they didn't know what they were signing up for. You know, people always complain about, oh, they shouldn't have done it. It's like, no. If before you saw Phantom Menace, if George Lucas had come to you personally and said, I would like you to be in my trilogy, there's not a single one of us that wouldn't have gone, whatever you need. You know? Because we still thought, we thought, oh, surely this is going to be awesome. But no, I mean, now we know. now is the ultimate in cynicism of everything, because that one bit of awesomeness turned completely sour. And I remember that, and I remember when I realized that something was definitely wrong. First of all, it's amazing what a John Williams score will do for you, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you look at like the Superman Lives trailer or whatever, pretty much all the emotional reaction to that trailer is from the music.
Yes.
It's very sneaky of them to include it, you know, because no, when you got to the Darth Maul fight, which was amazing.
Yes, exactly. The best part of that film.
Yes. First of all, it was amazing because Ray Park basically directed that. He choreographed it. He did the whole shebang. So when I hit that, I went, wait a minute. Why is this so much more awesome than the rest of the film? Why isn't the rest of the film this awesome? And that's when I started sliding out of the euphoria wore off, and I went, oh, okay. So.
Why have we spent so much time trying to get this little boy? Can we just leave him alone now?
God, can we introduce him to Carl? Because that would be great.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What's your take on Les Mis?
I think.
First of all, it's one of my favorite stage musicals of all time, but let me go out on a limb there real quick, John.
No, yes. No, I mean, it's trust me, it's really good. I mean, I've seen it.
I've seen it three times.
I think I've seen it three times as well. One of which was a touring company.
Mm-hmm. All three times for a touring company. For me. I didn't go anywhere. I stayed here.
It's fine. I think it's going to be amazing, honestly, because that trailer fucking kills me every time I see it. Now, did you see the little featurette that they have online about how they're singing live, they're recording them singing live as opposed to on playback?
I have not, no.
Okay, you need to go find that. And dear listeners, you need to go find that because that will blow your fucking mind. Because they literally have camouflaged earpieces and they have someone playing keyboard on set so that, you know, if Hugh Jackman wants to, he can slow down, speed up, pause. He can act while he's singing, as opposed to, I think it's I can't think of his name. He was in My Week with Marilyn. He's playing.
Let's see if I can pull it up for you.
Yeah, thank you. But anyway, he was explaining that, you know, and this is true. Normally on musicals, you go and you sing, you go into a studio, you record it, and then months later you come
Eddie
back.
Redmayne.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
It's playing Maris. You then have to go back and, you know, on the set, get back into the same acting headspace that you were when you sang it months before, as opposed to doing it live on the set where you can act with it. And they actually show Hugh Jackman doing a take of that "What have I done, sweet Jesus, what have I done" bit. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, he's playing around with it. He's basically going, okay, I'm going to speak this part. I'm going to sing this part. I'm going to whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see that. And then I'm going to need a drink because I think that's going to kill me. Now here's the other fun bit. You may not. Do you know who's playing Thénardier?
I am looking it up now. Hold on.
This will make you very happy.
Why is it not up the top? Oh. So really?
Yes. Yes. That's perfect.
Interesting.
That is perfect. And you notice he hasn't been in any trailer. I haven't seen a picture of him at all.
You know, he is a fabulous actor. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, be it, you know, having treaded the boards, comedy is way harder than drama.
What is?
A comedy.
Oh, yeah.
It
really is.
And he is and sometimes I think he's kind of a big douchebag, but, there's a big insect, mosquito or something on my screen here. He's always impressed me as a actor in his ability to just basically bury himself into a role.
You don't realize it's him. I mean, he was in Sweeney Todd. He was Pirelli in Sweeney Todd, and he was fantastic.
And of course,
he was like the best part of that movie.
And of course, I still like, you know, Hugh Jackman is I think he's also an underused actor as well. He, unfortunately, has X-Men Origins Wolverine to explain. Well,
so let me say this about Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman, I think I posted this somewhere. I'm glad they're doing another Wolverine movie. Okay.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Because I want them to get enough footage where someone can actually edit together a good Wolverine movie. Because Hugh Jackman he nails Wolverine. Okay. Like long before we were seeing Heath Ledger completely own the Joker or, you know what I mean? Like Robert Downey Jr. completely own Iron Man. He owned Wolverine. And from jump, even, you know, say what you want about the first X-Men film. Okay. Cause it has a lot of problems. But Jackman basically saying, you know, does it hurt when the claws come out? And when he says every time, that one line, I said, holy shit, he gets it. He fucking gets it. And this is, it's Wolverine. We grew up reading X-Men. Wolverine was like the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He completely fucking owns that character. I mean, I will brook no arguments about it. There's the bit in Secret Origins where he comes out of the tank with the claws and you just go, holy shit. It's completely believable. And he got pumped up like you wouldn't believe. So he owns that role. And here's what's interesting. Did you know this? Did you know that we can thank Mission Impossible for the fact that, was it Mission Impossible 2?
I believe
it was Mission For Doug Ray Scott basically having to leave the role.
Right. Yeah. And he was just a stuntman, wasn't he?
What, Jackman?
I think Jackman was just a stuntman, if I recall correctly.
Goes. I mean, he's been an actor because, I mean, he started in musical theater.
Well, yeah. And he was also in Australian soap operas as well.
Yeah. So I don't know about the stuntman thing, but I do know that he when Doug Ray Scott got delayed by Mission Impossible, Hugh Jackman stepped in and the rest is history. So, I think he's going to be, I don't know if there's anybody bad in this fucking cast for Les Mis. I don't know. I think it's going to devastate me. I think it's really going to lay me out because just like I said, the trailer with Anne Hathaway singing, and that's her singing live. Okay. And especially when you see the featurette, you go, oh no, that's her on the day.
Well, of course, Anne Hathaway is also very brilliant.
Oh yeah, so. I mean, the more I see of her, the more I like her, and I don't mean that in a glad she took her top off at Brokeback Mountain kind of way.
Did you ever watch One Day?
No. What? Remind me what that is.
It's basically based on a book, but it's about this couple's life. One day out of their every year of their. Is it every year? Something like, hold on, I get the summary for it. But it's actually, It's got a 6.8 on IMDb. I think it deserves a little more than that, just because the performances are really good. But let's see. After spending the night together, the night of their college graduation, Dexter and M are shown each year on the same date to see what they are up to in their lives. They're sometimes together, sometimes not on that day. And it's actually really, I thought it was a really good movie. You can kind of tell the story where it's going to wind up, but for a romantic, you know, chick flick, if you will, it's really good. And I've never been able to check out Love and Other Drugs, which is something that I heard that she was really very good in as well. So, wait, is she in that? Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was in that. Although that still only has a 6.6 as well. Oh, you know, speaking of Wolverine.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watch, you probably don't, but watch the cartoon series The Avengers on Disney XD.
I do not.
I do. Me and my son watch it all the time together. First of all, it's really well done. And they've been doing this thing with, they also have The Amazing Spider-Man and, what do you call it? Men of Action.
Yeah.
Is actually Ben, the producer and writer for The Amazing Spider-Man. They've done a really good job with it. It's very, I want to say, Peter David-esque, if you will.
Okay.
A lot of cut scenes where, you know, Spider-Man's talking to the audience and he's got his, you know, his subconscious talking as well. And by the way, even for a kid series, I thought Ben 10 was actually really well done, and it basically built its whole universe, and they did a really good job with that. So for Men of Action is a production company as well as – it's like three guys. They're basically right. Contractors for Disney. But so they basically they took Spider-Man, and they did a really good job of it, and they've been also doing some consulting with the Avengers series as well. And the only reason why I mention that is because like there was this whole storyline that they were consultants on, and then just this past one they did called the New Avengers on the Avengers. Back up a bit. Disney XD has a series called The Avengers, and it's
okay.
your classic Avengers. It's Iron Man, Captain America, Hawkeye, Miss Marvel, or Marvel, depending on how you want to pronounce it. The Hulk sometimes, Thor. I think that's it.
Okay.
Well, they fight this recent storyline that they just did. They fought Kang, and Kang, of course, sends him off to another timeline, and they just disappear from the screen. And so then Stark has this thing that he implements called, and the only reason why I mention this is it's a very brilliant way of introducing the New Avengers, which was okay. He sends off a message to Spider-Man and says, look, I need you to assemble these folks. And he kind of just how it works out. But they nail of course, they beat Kang, as you do.
Spoilers.
Yeah. But they get Thing. They get Thing and Wolverine and. The only person they don't have from the original New Avengers is Mockingbird. Mockingbird isn't brought in, but they do, or Doctor Strange for that matter.
It depends on which New Avengers.
Yeah,
because, I mean,
but the ones that they bring in is the Thing, Iron Fist, Power Man, or Luke Cage, depending on which era you're reading.
Right.
Wolverine and oh my God, who else would that be? I think that's it, right?
Well, no, because I mean, the New Avengers, like the Bendis New Avengers, was Iron Man, Captain America, Wolverine, Spider Man, Cage, and Spider Woman, and one other.
Well, actually, okay, I'm just thinking back. Iron Fist and Luke Cage, which they do this really funny bit of Luke Cage is like, it doesn't seem like my problem. All I see is no one getting paid here. at the end of the cartoon, spoiler, Spider-Man goes, I think that Luke Cage might be sending you a bill, and Iron Man goes, yeah, I've already got it.
Nice.
The
So Iron Fist, Iron Man, I mean, excuse me, Iron Fist, Power Man, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and The Thing. That's right. And The Thing, they're right. Like, well, where's the rest of the Fantastic Four? Oh, well, they're all off doing some sort of
Fantastic Four-ish
thing. Fantastic Four thing. I stayed home to watch the game. And then he's like, do you happen to know what the score is? You know, so it's like, you know, very Thing-esque thing to say. But right. They do a very nice job of bringing it in. And I can't recommend enough the Avengers series on XD. And they've done a good job of kind of letting Marvel be Marvel and write the Marvel stories. In fact, actually, they did a better job with Secret Invasion than Secret Invasion did with Secret Invasion.
I can believe that.
They summarized the entire thing essentially over one season, but it was really well. They kind of took out the parts that didn't make sense. They never really killed Captain America.
Right.
So that worked out well because, of course, it's a kids' cartoon series, so you wouldn't do that. They just showed that, oh, you know what? He was replaced. And they had actually been captured by the Skrull. Basically, the key members of the superhero community were captured by the Skrull, and they were replaced. And they did a very nice job of that because for a while there, you actually didn't know who was a Skrull and who was not a Skrull. And but the series itself has been really well done. It's very well acted, and even when they brought in, like I said, the new Avengers was actually pretty brilliant because they didn't do this thing where, you know, oh, let's call everyone. No, they just kind of said, you know, something's going on here. Let's try and figure it out. And then everyone kept saying, well, where the hell are the Avengers at? And then, you know, then they said, well, I guess we're going to have to take them out. But anyway, that's it. That's all I had for that. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, I have to go. Well, what's
we mentioned? Oh, we mentioned Hugh Jackman, then I mentioned Wolverine, then it got me on that. Okay, there we go.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting that you know, I'm glad to hear that that Marvel is doing better with their animation now, because for a while there it seemed like all they were doing was like the stop motion comics, you know, where it was just, oh well, let's take the existing comic and let's just make them move a little bit. And it's like, oh, God.
Oh, there was that, yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, you know, I think we've talked about it before where DC has been better with their animation than they have been with their feature films.
Oh, yeah. And I would still say, by the way, this is more geared towards young males. And when I say young males, I mean like 8 to 12.
Right.
Than what the DC comic movies are, which are more towards they're more teenage and up
right.
type stories, because they are more graphic in nature, if you will.
Right. But what was it? I don't know if you've seen the Dark Knight Returns or whatever. Shit, I kept, now that there's Dark Knight Rises, I get confused. But basically the Frank Miller that they turned into the animated film.
Oh no, I have not yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's I love the fact that they got Peter Weller to be Batman. That's just such a great casting for me.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And it just go
as a voice. I wouldn't want to see him as an actress.
Oh, no, I know. But the fact he's got that sort of weary, kind of wry, kind of, you know,
especially
thing
for that story.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's really good. So I would say go check out the trailer that they have for it. Because you get, they basically make it very clear in the trailer. Oh, look, here's this panel from the comic. Here's this panel from the comic. Really well done. So,
what do you think they do with Batman after Rises? Did you ever do it? Did you ever do a Way Home for Rises?
Oh yeah,
I must have missed it. Okay. But what
they're going to reboot it.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to.
Well, I mean, obviously you don't make another Batman story, at least in that same line, right? But can you?
I think you can, because I mean, the whole point of what Nolan did, and whether or not they respect it or not is, you know, a completely different question. Because trust me, there is a script somewhere for basically Dark Knight 4. I mean, somebody's written it. Whether it gets made or not is another thing entirely, but, the whole point was I think we talked about this before. Alan Moore made a great point about legends. And legends, a story cannot become a legend unless it ends. And that's the problem that a lot of comic book companies have, is that they can't let things go. So rather than having, we're going to replace Hal Jordan. We're going to replace, Wally West. We're going to replace Peter Parker. We're going to replace all, but they eventually come back to the status quo because they can't, they're pissing off too many people. Oh, we don't like Kyle Rayner. Well, yeah, you didn't like Kyle because nobody could figure out how to write Kyle. But anyway, that's a completely
different. He's a graphic artist, and yet he still uses hammers.
Oh, God, don't get me fucking started.
I liked him. I liked the idea of him.
Oh, yeah.
For the first five or six, because I owned the first five or six. That was in Zero Hour, wasn't it?
No, that was he basically took over from the regular numbering. They didn't renumber it. So
okay. Well, yeah. I own the first five or six of his, and then I finally said, forget it. And I dropped it.
Well, the only person who knew, there are two people who knew what to do with the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern. One was Judd Winnick, and I'm talking about the pre-insanity Judd Winnick, who is still good, and Grant Morrison. Because Grant Morrison in World War III set up a bunch of stuff that DC didn't follow up on, and then Grant Morrison went insane, and it all went to hell. He basically did two things. He set up, in the World War III storyline in JLA, Kyle walks out, and Wally says, as Wally's about to make a crack, because they were always bantering back and forth. And Wally just goes, so what, shit, basically is what he says. He says to Kyle, dude, you look like a Green Lantern. And Kyle says, I finally feel like a Green Lantern. And this is like one where he's like, I think he like encases a Sun Eater in like a box. And it's basically like holding back a Sun Eater with his willpower. But you completely buy it because he's like, all right, I got this. Finally, it's like, yes. Okay. Thank you. Somebody's finally doing something with Kyle. Nobody followed up on it. Hal Jordan came back. Nobody gives a shit about Kyle anymore. And he basically set up to where the Jack Kirby's fourth world was to the DC universe, what the DC universe was to our universe, was the setup, and went nowhere. And of course, then they did Final Crisis, Vanilla Crisis, Crisis on Infinite, Bollocks, and whatever the fuck, and DC went to shit. So, but yeah, I mean, the problem is they won't allow change. And as a result, the stories keep going and going and going. And, you have to, Robin Hood ends, Sherlock Holmes ends. Frank Miller wrote an ending to the Batman legend with Dark Knight, which Nolan was calling upon. But no, I think he wrote an excellent ending in The Dark Knight Rises. Which had to end that way. And if they're smart, they'll leave it. Now, I mean, then if you wanted to, if they were smart, which they're not, they would then turn around and you could, if you wanted to play around with, the new whoever, do it in a novel, do it in a comic book, don't do a movie. Leave that alone. What really pisses me off, though, about the comics, about not changing things in the comics, is it's like, okay, so let me get this straight. You've set up a scenario, both Marvel and DC. Marvel's got the multiverse thing going on, Earth 661.5 or whatever the fuck. They got every Earth imaginable, right? DC, and I don't know what the new 52 is. I've never gotten around to reading any of it. Who the fuck knows? I don't care. Let's talk about DC back when it was, people cared, which would be, original. So you had the multiverse, right? And then after that, you had hyper time. And basically all they've done with these two scenarios, right, is set up a situation in which anything goes. Okay. We can have, if we want Hal Jordan to turn into Superman, we can. If we want, all the Elseworlds stories actually happened, fine. But my whole thing is, it's like, if you want to, instead of trying to shoehorn two universes together, i.e. one never changes and one does change, right? So you have a new Green Lantern, a new Batman, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to combine those two together and having them clash to where you have to reboot all the time. It's like somebody pointed out, like, you know, nobody ever looks at Peanuts and gets pissed off that Charlie Brown doesn't age, you know?
True.
Were you about to go, I did?
Well, I was just thinking, but we do get pissed off about the whole football thing, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, on a certain level, you know that's part of the comedy. But I think the reason we get pissed off about the football thing, and this is speaking for me and just assuming for you, so feel free to correct me, mm-hmm. is we know what that feels like and we hate ourselves.
For constantly falling for the same thing over and over again?
For falling for the same shit. That, if you think about it, that Lucy football thing is such an amazing metaphor for so many things which we hate.
Well, I don't think that Peanuts is particularly funny. It is certainly a good satire on life in general as a child.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Peanuts is like that a lot. Peanuts has some very dark bits in it, which are nicely camouflaged.
So we don't care if they get old.
No. Nobody cares if they get old.
That they don't get old, rather.
Yeah. My thought is, I'm like, okay, it's like Star Trek realizing, hey, you know what? Rather than rebooting everything, why don't we just split off another universe and put this in that universe and leave the other universe alone? I mean, we are writing science fiction, right? We can do that, right? It was amazing. That blew my mind.
Okay. I got to share this with you real quick because you just sparked this in my mind.
Yeah.
The other day, so again, we're watching The Avengers with my son.
Right.
And of course, it involves Kang, which of course involves time travel,
right?
Which of course involves the inevitable, well, wait a minute, wouldn't he know that he doesn't succeed if he didn't? And so my son, I paused the show, and he goes, Dad, wait, wouldn't he know? And I said, son, I understand where you're about to go. Understand that you can never figure this out. Welcome to the wonderful world of sci-fi and time travel. I said, it doesn't matter because, yes, you're right. He wouldn't know. But, of course, he wouldn't know unless he actually had done it. So, therefore, he had to have done it at some point. And it just, you know, so.
Well, it's the
innocence that he has that it's like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense at all.
Your mind is going to be so screwed with. Well,
we immediately went and saw Looper. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. So where they're basically just Looper like, yet. No, don't think about it. Try not to. I don't want to talk about that time travel shit. That's great. Again, a way to write yourself out of a problem is just basically to have the characters go, I don't want to fucking talk about this fucking time travel shit. I don't want to talk about it. But no, my thought is for like DC and Marvel, and I was hoping they were going to do this with like the Ultimate line or something, but basically, have a universe where, you know, because the whole thing in Marvel is like, what? It's always 7 years since the Fantastic Four went up. Isn't that right? What they always do?
Something like that, yes.
Something like that, yeah. That's like the Stan Lee rule or whatever. I'm like, do that. Do that. Have a Peter Parker who, you know, is always, it's like the comic strip Spider-Man. He's always in, you know, high school or college. You know, there's always the, you know, Mary Jane thing going on. There's whatever. Whatever the status quo is, that's your status quo universe. And so people who like those stories can live in that universe and read those books, okay? Then over here, do your universe in which Spider-Man leaves college. Spider-Man grows up. Spider-Man gets married. Spider-Man has a kid. Spider-Man, whatever. Where time progresses. And you can tell those stories. I just want to strangle them and go, you do multiple versions of the character all the fucking time. All the time. And you have, you know, like DC, what is it? The whole gimmick is they have 52 titles now to go along with it.
Well, they didn't up until recently, but yes.
Yeah, they started canceling them.
They started canceling them, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, surely. Surely you have enough with 26 and 26 to tell some excellent stories in both universes. That way everybody's happy. All the writers are happy because they can go write on whichever version they want to, you know. So if you've got a Bruce Wayne story, you can go do the Bruce Wayne thing. or if you've got, oh, I've got this great idea for, you know, Batman 3 or whoever the fuck is supposed to be the new Batman now, some crazy, you know, that thing, that would be, you could go do it over here. I'm like, why not? Why not do that? That way you get the best of both worlds. I don't see what the downside is to that.
I don't either. but of course, we're thinking like sane individuals.
I know.
I don't think those folks exist at DC right now. Oh, the other thing I want to point out about The Amazing Spider-Man that's on Disney XD is that they made Aunt May not 900 years old. And by the way, voiced beautifully by Misty Lee. Not 900 years old, right? They made her early 50s lady, but who is actually, you know, what do you call it? Vibrant. So it actually, you know, she's off doing her own thing a lot of the time. So it kind of makes, sense that she doesn't really, she's not around to realize, hey, Peter's not home. Right. She's out doing her own thing. In fact, actually, most recently dating Agent Coulson, which again, voiced by Clark Gregg,
right?
Who is going to be in the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, apparently.
Yes.
Which is fantastic, because he has done an excellent job of basically making a career out of one guy in multiple films and now television series, and as well as voice acting. So the S.H.I.E.L.D. Thing, and I was just reading up on it, and they said that, you know, a lot of people had said, well, maybe he'll come back as the Vision.
Right.
That's
been a long-running rumor. Which, I mean, I've heard that for a while now.
Sure, I guess. If you really want to screw with the Vision's history, sure. Which, by the way, they already did the Vision in... the Vision is now part of the Avengers in the cartoon series. And did a great job they're moving it basically pretty much really along really quickly in the cartoon series, because Yellow Jacket's around as well. They did the whole Ultron thing, which was very well done. Again, I might add, they've done a really good job of kind of like condensing, you know, what for us were, you know, a year and a half worth of comics into, you know, three episodes of a cartoon series, which also makes me wonder how much money did I spend erroneously to get the same story.
Yeah, well, and all the issues in between, which we've conveniently forgotten, you know, mm-hmm. that weren't the highlights.
Right. But, you know, like the Ultron, the Hank, which interestingly, they've avoided the whole Hank Pym smacks a bitch thing of the Ultimates, even though they're still kind of in the Ultimate universe.
Oh, that was, remember that wasn't just the Ultimates. That sort of happened not to that extent, but didn't that happen in the regular Avengers?
If it did, I was not aware of it. It was before my time or whatever.
Yeah. I think I remember that, because the whole bit was he was drunk, and so that's when they were like, oh no, fuck you. Now, granted, they didn't do it, they didn't handle it as awesomely as the Ultimates did with Captain America basically saying, all right, get big so I can kick your ass, which I absolutely loved. I think basically what they're doing is they're saying, all right, we know we're only going to get a certain number of series out of this whole thing before they decide something. We get a regime change and people want to change this, you know, so we might as well get into all the stories that we want to tell now.
Right. Yeah. And they told the whole Ultron story, and they handled it very deftly and from me being on the outside, of course, my son has never read the entirety of knowing the whole history of Ultron.
Right.
But, you know, it's very innocently starts off with Ultron being the guard in the big house, and at least in the cartoon series and the Avengers. And, you know, Hank Pym creating him. And then it progresses slowly out of it when, you know, of course he calls on Ultron to help save the Avengers, which then ultimately leads to Ultron becoming totally sentient and realizing, well, humans are flawed. And, you know, it's handled very deftly that, you know, then the Vision comes out of Ultron's creation, and then it's handled very well that they ultimately, of course, as you've said, when heroes meet heroes, they must fight.
That's a long-standing tradition.
Right. Of course, in this case, the Vision originally was not a hero in this world. They've done an excellent job. I mean, Disney has done an excellent job, I think, of just keeping hands off and letting Joe Quesada lead them. And they have these great little, I don't know if you've seen these, but these, they call them Marvel mashups. There's a couple of things that they put in between, and during the commercial breaks on Disney XD, which is one of them is Marvel mashups where they take the old Marvel series and they, voice over the top of them. And
really,
and they do like, they're really actually funny. They're like, I can't even begin to explain it, but they're kind of hipster funny, if you will. Like for the fact that, you know, the Fantastic Four, they're showing the old footage, right? Of the old right. Fantastic Four. And, you know, Herbie is there.
Herbie?
It's Herbie, right?
Yeah.
Herbie's there. And of course, and at one point they're going, if you're wondering why I'm here and Johnny Storm is not here, I'm not going to tell you. And it's, you know, those kind of things. It's, of course, it was because contractually they couldn't put him in there. The Human Torch during the original series.
I thought it was because they were afraid that kids would try to set themselves on fire.
Is that true?
That's what I understood.
I'm going to have to look that up.
And then John Byrne wrote a story about that.
Why was Johnny Storm?
Why Herbie? I think that's no. Careful, because you'll get Lindsay Lohan and the Love Bug remake if you just Google why Herbie. That's
Herbie.
Important.
Herbie. Okay, I tried to just why Herbie. Okay, that didn't come up with anything. Or could have misspelled Herbie wrong. Anyway, so they do that, but they also do these great shots with like either Joe Quesada or a couple of other comic book animators showing how to draw the comic book characters, which is really, really nice. And then recently they've also started to add in real life, you know, superhero movies. Like, so they showed how to be, you know, more like the science of Captain America, right? So like they showed a guy doing parkour and showing, you know, look, this is how he moves and blah, 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 you know, and it's really kind of cool that the way that they've introduced and they're kind of tying in the comic books and real life, you know, science and whatnot into this, as well as for me and the rest of the folks that grew up with sort of these old, really crappy television cartoon series for the Hulk or whatever,
right?
And voicing over them and just kind of making fun of the horrible animation. Like there's this one bit where Rick from the Hulk is about to get run over by a motorcycle, and the leader is sitting there, and then he's sitting there, oh, I can't wait for this to happen. And then I don't remember who the girl was, but she kept going, watch out, Rick. And of course the motorcycle's not getting any closer because the animation is just so horrible.
Nice.
And they're like, why is this taking so long? And he's just like, anyway, why was Ann Curry fired? Why was Herbie? I want to say Kirby. Herbie in Fantastic. What do you say? Fantastic Four.
That should do it, because I mean they created him for the cartoon. So
series. Herbie Wikipedia. Okay.
Oh, well, that's always right.
Should have just gone there. Human experimental robot, B-type integrated. They really had to stretch something. Well, B-type, sure. And was integrated in the creation and conception. What is it? It doesn't say. Hold on. Mythic sins that the torch was replaced due to fear. Oh, the popular urban myth contends that the torch was replaced.
Oh, really?
Due to the fears that children might attempt to emulate him by setting themselves on fire, but is not true. Let's see where.
Huh. Okay.
Where
well, what's the
where
actual
you're
thing?
Citing that? Openly condemned. The cartoon human torch was unable to be used, as at the time the character had been optioned separately for use as a solo movie, which never materialized. Huh. Let's see, what is the comic book Urban Legends Revealed? Number 16. Oh, wow, I've never been to this site. Oh, it's in CBR. Okay. Well, I don't see the actual facts here. I see Aquaman. I see Submariner. I don't see what the where they quoted they cited this particular site. Comic book Urban Legends Revealed number 16, but they do not. I do not see where they've actually. Oh, no, there it is. Okay. The Human Torch was replaced by Herbie in the Fantastic Four because the network was afraid that kids would inspired by the torch set themselves on fire, which is false. Remember the Burn Fantastic Four issue where the kids who idolized the Human Torch set themselves on fire? Well, that was based on a real concern. Was a Herbie the robot? Was that why Herbie the robot is fired? Okay. In 1977, Marvel made a deal that licensed a number of their characters, of course, to Universal Studios, as we are aware, to be developed as live-action TV movies and potential series. The Incredible Hulk came out of that deal, as did right. the movie plots of Doctor Strange and Captain America, which never became regular series. The Human Torch was one of the characters that Universal wanted to develop, and a teleplay was written but never produced. That meant that the following year, when NBC wanted to buy a new animated Fantastic Four series, the rights to the torch were encumbered, and Universal, which was not to be involved in the cartoon show, would not make a deal to allow the Human Torch to be included. Therefore, it was replaced by the robot named Herbie, conceived and named by Stan Lee and designed by Jack Kirby. Okay, rumor was... okay, so basically that's it. That's the reason why. Again, it was illegal... As it always comes down to, in these cases, a legal case.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, it's so fucking plausible because you can't tell me that if they had the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four, there would have been, like, outcry from parents' groups.
Well, we are looking at it from our eyes these days, which is, in 1977, I don't think parents cared as much. I will go on record as saying that my parents didn't give a crap if I went down what is essentially the interstate on my bicycle to go to the movie theater, which is what I did on a regular basis. I would ride about 10 miles down a heavily populated six-lane highway to get to the movie theater, and no one really cared. Nowadays, I won't let my kids go out of my yard. So,
well, that's because, you know, of all the ferrets.
Well, that is true. There's way, 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 way too many ferrets running around my neighborhood.
But no, I mean, I don't. Well,
it's sex offender ferrets too.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't know if it would have been a huge outcry, but somebody would have complained about something because there was always somebody complaining about something.
Well, Superman's a classic example, right?
Oh well, yeah,
to make your point,
not allow a user to fly. Yeah, which has always been in there. That particular warning, which has been with us for generations. So,
speaking of generations, we did make it past the 3-hour mark.
We did. We carried this the rest of the way ourselves.
At some point I was hoping Rob would join us, but apparently he is drunk in a corner somewhere.
Well, and what's going to be really funny is that what people don't understand is that there have been three other people on this call with us, but I am going to deftly edit them out. So it's just you and I.
It is. That is fantastic because, Serve, what you can do is take his ending. Shut up, Serve. What you can do is take his ending
Right.
That he says he's going to take off now and put it like, I don't know, an hour and a half ago.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think that's pretty.
I'm totally going to do that now. Sorry, Serv.
You should probably do that the same with Lee and. Okay, guys, shut up. Lee and Rox as well.
Yeah, they don't need to talk over us because that makes the filter have to work twice as hard.
Well, we do record these on separate channels, so it does work out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. When we did the upgrade to the laser guided system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
We really shouldn't be telling anybody our podcast.
No. Well, I'll edit this part out, so it'll be fine.
I'm sure
it'll be seamless.
I'm sure it will be.
Okay, before we go, do you have any recommendations at all? Since we're going to be the only two people on this podcast at the end when I get done.
I would say check out, and I believe it's available on Amazon On Demand. I know it is on Netflix. Check out the Avengers cartoon series. I talked about it a little bit, but even for adults, I think it is a very worthwhile investment of your time. And it's kind of lightweight. It does really retell some of the stories that we've already known all of our life. And actually, I'm trying to look it up right now. If it's Amazon.com, see if it's available on I'm sure it is. Let's see. The Avengers, of course, the Avengers cartoon series is what I'm looking for. Ooh, there's a video game coming out. Wait, is it already out? The Avengers Battle for Earth? Did I miss this? Oh, no, it's pre-order. Oh, it's coming out October 30th. Ooh. Can I pre-recommend this, even though I had never seen anything about it?
Go for it.
It's a typical fighter game. Okay. Never mind. I'm not thinking of fighter game. So never mind. I'm not recommending it. take that out now. No more recommendation for that. The Avengers Mightiest Heroes. $1.99 per episode, or if you want to get the entire season pass. The Private War of Dr. Doom. Let's see. New Avengers. Okay. We didn't miss one. Okay, so here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they did this. I could have sworn that they did this. My son was like, I don't get it, because the preview, when we were watching the New Avengers, by the way, it is available on Amazon On Demand, and you can buy it by the episode or for the season. Season one and season two.
Okay.
King the Conqueror, the New Avengers, which is brand new.
Right.
The preview shows things that weren't actually in any other episode that we had seen. And we're like, this doesn't make any sense. And I was thinking, you know what? I bet you what they did is that they are showing things that are from some other episode that they're going to do later. But because of the whole time shift thing, you're thinking you're seeing something that you really aren't seeing. You know what I mean? You following what I'm saying? In other words, they've taken things that are going to be in an episode, three episodes down. But they're showing you now as though it had already happened, even though it never really had happened yet. Because I'm looking at it, I'm saying, we have seen every single one of these episodes in order, but I still don't see where this, because like there's like a Captain America who's in instead of a red primarily blue uniform, he's in like a white uniform.
Okay.
And it's like in sort of from an alternate timeline. So I think what they did is Code Red, yada yada yada. Yeah, so I've seen every single episode in order. And so that's exactly what they did. It must be exactly what they did. That they did that. So a brilliant, brilliant move on their part. Because even my son was confused. He goes, I think that we have missed something. I said, I'm looking at it going, we've seen, it makes sense in the scheme of things, but you're right. It does seem like this preview of, you know, previously on the Avengers doesn't make any sense. And then I was thinking in my mind, oh, maybe they did this thing with, like, the old, what do you call it? We'll call it, who's that guy, that director guy? Pulp Fiction. Who likes to do that crap?
What, Tarantino?
Tarantino, where he shows everything out of order, you know?
Right.
And so they're just showing this preview, which is actually out of order for something that you haven't seen previously. And just make sure it's not in season one that we missed it. Because I don't think they introduced Kang until Yeah, they didn't introduce Kang until season two. So that's the most recent season. Anyway, so that's what I say. I recommend Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes season one, season two. They're available on... one season pass is $39. I think you can get it on DVD for cheaper than that.
Yeah.
But I would recommend those because they are very well done and they are very... they're really good, and they do a good job of not just kind of dumbing it down for kids. It works on several different layers. So that's it. That's what I recommend. Ding, I'm done.
All right, cool. Well, I'll just say that coming out this week is the second volume of the Looney Tunes Platinum Collection on Blu-ray, which are sweet. So if you got the now, admittedly, Warner Brothers needs to fucking release these things in a chronological order setup. So we just get them all rather than just jumping around. But, I mean, this is how they're doing it, so we'll have to do it. They'll come around eventually and do one of those. But for right now, this is good. And there's bonus bits, and it looks amazing. So second volume, Platinum Collection. You can replace your Golden Collection DVDs eventually with these, and it'll be worthwhile. So there you go.
Sweet.
So there you have it. So I think... I think we've reached the point of another episode of Weekend Justice where we should all say chives.
Trim your chives.
Trim those chives. Chive trimmings.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Can I just say something real quick, too, about the Looney Tunes?
Yeah.
How sad I am that my kids only know the Looney Tunes that are now on Cartoon Network.
Oh, dude. Now, that's bad parenting on your part. I don't like to judge.
Parenting
but
on my part.
Let me just say, if anyone out there wants to help John raise some funds so he can go and buy all six volumes of the Golden Collections of DVDs from Looney Tunes so that he can educate his children properly. I mean, you know...
It is horrible that they think that is the Looney Tunes.
It needs to be done. It needs that's your wish list. That's just give to the Save the Boutel Family Foundation, because the family that watches classic Looney Tunes together doesn't go out and murder people in their sleep.
I tell you what, in lieu of doing that, I say give the Need Coffee and they can educate my kids. They can raise my kids for me.
Oh, Christ.
That sounds like a horrible idea as well.
Terrible idea. That is one step away from your children going feral. I mean,
but do give the Need Coffee. Needcoffee.com.
Can you imagine like rocks, like, you know, and this is how you hotwire a car.
Nice. Well, I was going to say, you could just go to needcoffee.com/badparenting to donate,
yes,
right?
to donate. Yes.
No, that's another URL you have to create.
God, I got to do that now.
I expect to be able to type that in on a Saturday and get to the right website.
God, I think it'll redirect it to Family Social Services. Where it'll redirect.
That's probably not a bad idea.
Why are we getting all this traffic from Need Coffee? I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps we should check out Need Coffee and shut them down.
Yeah, maybe. Let's start an investigation.
Might not be the worst thing that happens in Need Coffee.
We could use the press. The publicity. Yes. Yeah. Oh,
did
Jesus.
You ever think of just, you know, maybe putting out a fuqua? I don't know what that is. Fuqua? What is it called?
Did you call me a fuqua? What?
I think, yes. On somebody, just to get the press.
Farquhar? What?
Yeah, Farquhar. Yes, the main character from Shrek. The main evil guy from Shrek. The John Lithgow character from Shrek.
Yes. Yes, we're putting out a John Lithgow on somebody.
Why not?